Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Tuesday to you, and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, I'm telling you, I'm feeling pretty spiffy today. I'm feeling pretty good. I know some of y'all say, that's always, yeah, that's pretty true, but anyway, just a little bit more, just a little bit more today. Well, I got a great show planned for y'all today, man. We're going to be talking about something that always is guaranteed to get some conversation going. And today we done took it just a little bit further, because we asking the question, is the Bible credible? Oh, man, I cannot wait for this conversation to get started, because I know it's going to be, woo, very interesting, very. Oh, man, I tell you, but, you know, we get into that in a little bit. Of course we will. So, besides that, man, how y'all doing out there? I hope everybody enjoying the heat for those that are going through the cold spell. Because I'm telling you, man, this has been one of the coldest winters I can remember here. So I'm not happy. I'm telling y'all, I'm putting it out there, Mr. Talk not happy when it's cold. And then if you add rain to it, man, that's really bad news for me. But anyway, we will survive, right? We will survive. All right, man. Well, let's see. If you want to be a part of the show today, just give us a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate on the show. Or if you want to go to the webs, my Facebook page, Let's Talk the Show's Facebook page, should I say, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com, and leave a comment. Or just say hello. Tell us how you like the show. If you have any comments or suggestions, you know, you can drop them there or send it to the email. It doesn't matter. Just as long as I get it, right?
Right.
All right. Anyway, so with all that being said, that is all we need to do today. Now, I'm finna bring my co-host in because, man, I'm telling you, this woman has so much knowledge to share. And she doesn't hesitate in sharing it either. That's what I love about her. You know, she says sometimes she talks too much. I tell her, just let it go, because that's why you're the co-host. We can't hold nothing back. Knowledge is the key. That's what Kumo D said. That's right. So without further ado, y'all, let me bring my co-host in, the one and only Sister Ngoni Ow. Hello, Sister Ngoni. How you doing today?
Hey there, Eric. I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderful. I can't complain.
Well, that's news. I heard you whining a little bit about the weather, though.
Well, you know, I can't help it. I'm not a fan of cold weather, okay?
I understand.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I love the cold. Well, I'm not even going to tell that fib. I like heat. I'm sorry. You know, I like heat. Oh, I'm telling you. And yes, if it gets 100 degrees, I'm still loving it. I'd rather be hot than cold. That's the way I look at it. Of course, that's just my view on things.
Well, I can understand. I share your view, believe me.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good thing. Yeah. So how's the weather down there where you are?
It's a beautiful sunny day, but it's not hot. But it's sunny. That's all I need, as long as the sun is shining.
Oh, okay.
I can deal with it.
See, I did have to ask that question, didn't I? I should have left it alone. Oh, now, you know, made me jealous. Oh, you got all the heat. That's why I'm getting all the cold where I'm at, see, because you got all the heat. I understand now.
It'll come back. And, you know, yesterday I was thinking about, we were talking about it earlier, and I was talking about how the poles had shifted 40. I said 40 miles, but it's 40 degrees. They said 40 degrees north, I think. So that might be affecting the whole, you know, shebang, I guess. Could be.
Well, yeah, that, you know what? That's possible. That is possible. In the natural order of things, yes, that is very, very possible. But okay. Now, I think that'll be a show for another day. We'll talk about that another day. Hey, who knows? Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Depends on how the show goes today. So tell me, what are you thinking about the topic today? You think we're going to have a good one?
Oh, you know it's going to be hot now. Anytime you talk about the religion or the Bible or that kind of thing, woo-wee.
Say woo-wee. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I know some of our guests, I'm going to put them out there. You know, some of them, they like to run away when we get to talking about the Bible and religion and stuff. They like to run and hide and just sit back and listen. So, you know what? It's all good because we're going to put out what we're going to put out anyway. So
Yeah.
You know, if you're scared, say you're scared, because you don't need to come up in here half-stepping today, man, because we're going to be on and popping. Now, let me explain this, too. You know, we're going to be talking about religion in the Bible today. Is it credible? Now, listen to what I'm saying, y'all. We are going to be discussing the Bible and whether it's credible or not. We're not going to be arguing. We're not trying to change anybody's point of view. We're just asking a simple question, and certain facts are going to be presented, whether for or against, and that's the way it's going to be. So if you have that arguing demon on you today, I like that. You have that arguing demon on you today, you may want not, you know, you keep it wrapped up, because it's not going to be tolerated here today. Because, you know, sometimes the people let their emotions take over. And, you know, a lot of us talk in an emotional state instead of just listening and talking, you know, on a just level, you know, unbiased state of mind. See, I learned something new today. See, I told you I've been listening.
So happy about that. I can't wait to get your feedback.
Yeah, so that's what we got going on today, y'all. All right, we're going to give a quick shout-out to those in the chat room early today. Daboo One, welcome. Then we got Enjoying Life out of T-Town. And then we got, of course, the cynical Pianki on the line. I know he was going to be here today. I knew he was going to be here. So, yes, 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 they are lining up. They are lining up. That's all I can say. But it's all good. We're going to rock and roll. All right, y'all. It's that time. It's that time. Oh, yeah, I got to put this out there because my musical director told me to put it out there. Basically, what she said was me and her are now it's on and popping about the music. That's what she said. Now, I don't know what that means, but she said it's on and popping about the music. I think I kind of got a Friday when I was rocking a little bit. So she said it's on and popping. But she don't know. I got things up. Hey, I'm the teacher. You don't teach a student everything. I'm going to have to show the show of that. But anyway, it's time for the Tuesday Music Mix. That's why I brought that up. So I don't know what it is. I told her, you know, I trust you. Do what you're going to do, because Hey, I'm still the one with the musical mind. So, you know, what was that quote the other day? Behind every good man is a woman. There's a woman rolling her eyes. Well, I'm sure that's what's going on right about now when I just said that.
You know what else, Eric? I thought about, you said you didn't, you're the teacher, but you didn't teach everything. I said, That's what the priest in Kemet did, too. They kept a whole lot behind closed doors.
Yeah, okay. But see, I'm using mine for good, though. But anyway, let me stop. All right, so without further ado, y'all, here's the music mix for Tuesday. And I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all ready, because she tried to bring it today, but it's good. But here it is, y'all, your Tuesday music mix.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
This broadcast bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot passport.
Oh my gosh. The music just turns me on.
3, 4.
I don't care about my reputation. or play. I want it free. Be what you be.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. That she, I got to admit, the music director brought it today. They brought it today. I was rocking a little bit on that one. Oh my goodness, hey man, those some oldies there. I'm telling you, but that was good. That was good. That really was good, man. I like that. I can't even argue about that one there. Not like I argue anyway. But we had a lot going on. Oh man, I'm telling you. Y'all, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten what the songs are. I'm looking for my pad here because I know, yeah. Because I know that in a minute I'll be getting a text saying, you didn't tell me what the songs are. And I know what the songs are. We had some Rakim and ARB Paid in Full. Then we had Soul Sonic Force. And then we had some, who else we had, y'all? Egypt by Egyptian Lover, and yeah, those were the songs there. And you know what? They were all good. They were all good. So that's all I got to say about that. Yeah, Cybertron, yeah. But anyway, y'all, that was your music mix. I hope everybody got their little jam on. Everybody felt it pretty good there, because I know I did. I felt it. It sounded good to me. Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full. Then we have Cybertron, Death. Of course, Egyptian Lover, Egypt, and African Bambaataa, Planet Rock. So there it is, there it is, there it is. Yeah, clear. So we were there, man. We were there. Remind me of my days when I used to go out and just, come back all sweaty. If it wasn't that, I was in the skate rink going around backwards, sideways, and all that good stuff. Man, isn't it wonderful to remember those times back in the day? Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, okay, I've got to calm down now. I got to admit, music already had me going there for a hot minute. Oh, Sister Ain't Going, where you at? What you think about that?
Oh, I think it was good. Upbeat. Really nice.
See, really nice. You weren't chair dancing, were you?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay. yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, y'all ready for your Black History moment? Because I haven't forgotten. I think I forgot the other day, but I got it in today. Your Black History fact is the man's name is Richard Allen. Allen, and he founded the first national black church in the United States, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, in 1816. So all you AMEs, if you didn't know that, now you know. Richard Allen, the first national black church in the United States, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, 1816. And that was your Black History Fact of the Day. Yeah, see, we're going to keep telling y'all stuff y'all don't hear about on a daily basis every month, well, February, and we're going to keep rocking with that. All right. So, you know, that's amazing, though. If that was the first black church, where did all this other stuff come from? The transitional, international, boom, boom, farm church, and then you got the, we ain't even getting into that yet. Okay, let me stop. Okay, so African Methodist Episcopal Church was the first one by a black man, the first black church. All right. So with that being said, let's see. Let's get on with the rules of the show. Yeah. You know, we got to do that again, Sister Ngoni. We have to keep putting the rules out there. Rule number one, don't talk over each other. All right. That was not accepted. That's not how we do things here. We like to have a nice discussion. Even if you think you're being talked over, that don't give you the right to talk over anybody else. Okay. Let me handle that. Thank you. This is my show. We do encourage all callers to call in with your opinion. Nobody is turned away. Like I always say, no topic is off limits. Today we're talking about the Bible and whether it's credible or not. You know, that's what we're talking about. So be ready to get in on that. If you want to, 347-838-8622 is your key to get in the door. Press 1, and that opens the door for you, and you'll be on the air talking with us. All right? No personal attacks allowed. No personal attacks allowed whatsoever. We're not doing that here. No gossips from any other shows is allowed on the show. Now, let's go on to get that out also. Okay? There is no hoes, no bees, anything else that any longer allowed to be said on the show. We got to clean it up a little bit because I said so and my co-host said so. So we working that. I'm just letting y'all know. All right. Let's see. What else have I forgotten? Oh, yes. Of course, the big doozy. No N-word either on the air or in my chat room. If I see it, you can count yourself as beep-boop bye, especially in the chat room. I'm kicking you. I'm not even playing. I'm kicking you out the chat room. If you say it on the air and you're new, I may, you know, shoot you once or twice. But if you somebody already that know better, hey, well, you know what? Only thing I can say is shame on you. You might as well get your coffin ready for that day. All right. And those are the rules of the show. Hope everybody bye-bye them. You know, the old crew already know them. So, you know, no mercy. No mercy. All right. With that being said, we got that out of the way. It's time. It is now time for our quote of the day. And the quote of the day is always something very, very enlightening. And it's brought to you by my host, Sister Ngoni Al. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your quote of the day.
No man ever believes that the Bible means what it says. He is always convinced that it says what he means. That's by George Bernard Shaw.
Wow. Wow. Now, see, that is the way to start it off right there. No man ever believes that the Bible means what it says. He is always convinced that it says what he, y'all catch that word right there, he means. And George Bernard Shaw. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. You know, that goes to something that I was listening to earlier today by Mark Passio. I'm bringing it home. I'm bringing it home. I know you're smiling. You know.
Yes, and, I am.
Yeah,
ear
you
to
know.
Ear.
And, you know, he mentioned called neoscience, and basically means hidden or not known. Now, in a lot of cases, when it comes to the Bible, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to kick it to the curb or say it's not this, it's not that. Well, here's my thing. The proof is out there, and it's not like the information is not known. So you can't use that excuse as, well, it's not known, and I didn't know that existed, because it's there. Okay, it's there. Now, he says another thing. It's ignorance. Ignorance is totally something different, okay, because the information is there. You can find the information, right? You can find the information. But you choose, listen to that word, you choose not to find it, or you don't really want to know. So, and that's paraphrasing basically what he said, but the difference is, you know, when it comes to the Bible, a lot of people, you know, they choose not to believe what it says, or as in this quote today, you know, they translate it into what they want it to mean and thus kick everything else to the curb. So, that's how we come up with this thing, this question today, is the Bible really credible? And that's what we're going to be working with here in a few minutes. But I know you got something to say on that also, Sister Ngoni, so go for it.
Well, you were talking about nascence, meaning, you know, to not know or to not have information available to you, and the difference between that and ignorance. And ignorance is to ignorance, to choose to ignore. And what I thought about was, I run into a lot of people that not only don't want to know, but they'll beat you up if you want to know or if you try to know. I find that fascinating.
Very good. Very good point. A very good point. And you know what? We sure go through that day on a daily basis, don't we?
I'm telling you. Now, I have, if you don't mind, I think you'll love this. I just can't help myself. You know, I know when you were looking for the quote of the day, you used to mention how hard it was to choose, you know?
Yes.
And I think you're just going to love this.
Okay. Bring it to me.
Well, for some reason, it won't let me finish the last letter of the, so I'll finish it here while you're reading. I was thinking about how people seem to read the Bible a whole lot more as they get older. Then it dawned on me, they're cramming for their final exam. That's by George Carlin.
You know what? That is such... I can't help but laugh at that, because you know why? That is so true. That is so true. Yeah, that is so true. You know, it's like, okay, you know you're getting, you took all your tests, now it's getting close to that final, so, oh man, let me really cram and catch up on what I done missed, because, yeah, it's getting close. Man, that is so true. And you couldn't have put it in, you couldn't have put it better. The older you get, the more a lot of people read the Bible, and that's basically what they're doing, trying to catch up and cramming for that final exam. Now, if y'all know what that final exam is, well, I don't know. Y'all better think about what that final exam is, because all of us are going to have to take it. That's for sure. All of us are going to have to take it. Anyway, so that's a good point. I like that. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you,
You're welcome.
Co-host, for that those great quotes. I can't gate great. I don't know. Sometimes I get tongue-tied, y'all. Okay. That's not my fault. The Lord bless me with a big tongue and gets tied up sometimes. Oh, let me stop. Anyway, oh man, let's go on and get on about this, whether the Bible is credible. And Pianca is credible. How? You know, basically, does it really stand up to the test of time, Pianca? Does the things in the Bible stand up as far as, did they really exist? Did it happen? Did the people, certain people, really write it? Is it the word of God, or is it what God gave other people to write? You know, things like that. Is it inspiration? So is it really credible, or is it just, has like other people, some people say, you know, just fables and stories that were written to, you know, I guess, entertain certain people? You know, because we know throughout the years, skeptics have challenged, they even attacked and ridiculed the Bible. And like I said, some of them say, It doesn't really count, or it really doesn't make any sense. It's contradictory, you know. And because it has been translated, yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to slide in a question, but you finish your thought, please. I'm sorry.
Okay, and I would say because it's, a lot of people say, well, because it's been translated into a whole lot of different languages, you know, just, you know, to fit society, I guess you can say, you know, does that really diminish the importance or the credibility of the Bible? You know, that's what it is, does it? And, you know, we often get in a conversation when we're talking about the Bible here, especially here on the show, people bring up the Apocrypha, you know, which is supposed to be the lost books of the Bible. So, I mean, why was those books not placed in the Bible to begin with? You know, has anybody ever sat down and tried to talked about why? And with those books missing, does that take credibility away from what the Bible is supposed to be as far as what we're supposed to follow? So those are some of the questions, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get on. Sister Ngoni, you had a question, so let's get to it.
Yes, the question was, why does it have to be either or? You were speaking earlier about whether or not it's just myths, or whether or not, what is the other word you said, whether it's just myths or...
Fables or stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, but, or did you did you say versus history? What was? I kind of got lost.
Okay, you kind of lost me also. You lost me too.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, you were in the beginning when you were into Pianchi.
Uh-huh.
You were saying that, you know, is it just myths, or I guess were you saying, or is it real, or does it have real meaning? Is that what you were saying?
Right. Is it really credible as far as the things in the Bible? You know, does the things in the Bible, number one, did they really exist? Number two, if so, what makes them, is there any proof that they did? And as far as everyday living, what does that have to do with us? You know, because you have things like the Quran, you have the you have all kind of other Bibles. The Quran, the Mormon Bible that, you know, have certain books that were added to it. And I mean, things of that nature. So with all that going on, you know, does that make the Bible credible, or is just another one of those books in the whole line of religious writings that are, you know, just used for a specific religion? I guess that's a better way of putting it.
Well, I think that, of course, something is always lost in when you translate something from language to language. How do you feel about that?
Okay. Yeah, I can go with that. You know, here's what I was going with. You know, like in Judaism, you know, their canon consists of the books of the Old Testament only. In Protestant Christianity, you know, the canon is the body of scripture comprised of the, in the Bible, consisting of 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New One. In Roman Catholicism, additional books were added in 1546. You know, these books are known as the Apocrypha, the Tobit, Judith 1 and 2, Maccabees, and the Wisdom of Solomon, Sirah and Barak. You know, those were added in Roman. In Mormonism, 4 additional books have been added, and Christian Science added a book. So, I mean, with all this stuff being added and taken away, you know, does that take away from the credibility of the Bible? Period. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. These are
I can't keep. Probably, you have left me in the dust again.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you're ready today, aren't you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go in and ask, first of all, what Bible? I mean, there are many different Bibles, and because you mentioned the lost books, so, you know,
right.
we gotta talk, what Bible are you talking about? You know, Tynesdale, King James, you know, you mentioned
now,
the Apocrypha.
Okay, all right, basically.
Wait, now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I lost my question 3 times now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go for it.
The other thing I wanted to say was I think it depends on whether you approach the scriptures from a symbolic or a metaphor or allegory, or whether you're talking exoteric or esoteric. So, I mean, the Bible, it speaks to, you know, many different levels of understanding. So I don't know if you can ask a blank question, does it have credibility? Because I think, yes, it does. But it's you know, the Bible is written on many different levels and depends on the person who's reading its understanding of spiritual knowledge. It depends on your knowledge of the language and your ability to research and know how to go back and check translations, because as I said, I think something is always lost in a translation from one language to another. And not only just the language, but also, you know, the deeper spiritual meaning. Because, you know, nowadays we talk about things from the 5-sense level for the most part. That's how we see and understand things. Though not everybody, I'm generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. General speaking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, man, you said a whole lot. But you kind of helped ask the question I was asking, because you said which version of the Bible. And that is a very good point there. you know, besides the ones I just read off to you, you know, you have the ones that have been translated and broken down, like the New International Version, or you have, what is the other one? You got the King James Version. Then you have, let's say the International, the New English Version. I mean, you have so many versions now, and that kind of lends it to be interpreted by man. Okay, I guess, you know, common day man, to putting it into terms of today. And as you ask, you know, does it make it lose some of the spiritualness or the advice that it is supposed to give us as far as our everyday living? And does that take some of the credibility away from what it's supposed to be? I guess that's a better question. You know?
Aren't you making an assumption based on your beliefs? I'm just asking.
I don't think I'm making any assumptions. That's why I'm asking the questions. And see, here's the thing. Like I said, today's show,
Go ahead.
See, and that's the thing. You know, when you look at things like that, you have to really look at it with an open mind. Yes, all of us have our predetermined beliefs as far as what we think. You know, that's just human nature. That is. However, you know, is it possible to look at other aspects of, you know, the Bible and the other books, the Quran, the Mormon Bible, what have you, and say, okay, let's look at this and see if these books are credible also. But right then, then if you believe in the King James version of the Bible or the Bible that has Jesus Christ in it, then here's the question. You know, can we really say that this is what we're supposed to be believing in? Because you have all different religions out there. You can't say that one is – can you say one is the definite book to be believing and reading? However, you know, like you mentioned before, interpretation plays a lot into it. So before you can get, I'd say, objectively look at the question or even trying to answer it, you have to have an open mind toward all opinions first. That's my take on it.
Well, I'm not rejecting your opinions if you were talking about what I said about your assumptions, because the assumption I was referencing was the fact that you said the Bible was written to give people advice for daily living, and you talked about should people believe in it? Those are our assumptions. Some people look at the scriptures as pure literature. Literature.
See, there you go. Right. I mean, so here's the thing. Even if you're looking at it as pure literature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still, I mean, does that take its credibility away from it? I'm asking the question. That's what I'm really doing, asking the question.
You're asking a rhetorical question, in other words.
Right.
Okay.
There you
all
go.
Right.
Okay, we're good now? All right. They said, I think to honestly go there, you would need to be exposed to the different versions. That came out the chat room from Dabu One. That makes a lot of sense. I agree with that. I mean, that's the only way you can objectively look at it and say and make a decision if, you know, you're trying to make a definitive decision. You know, Christians, you know, we're taught growing up that you should actually believe in the Bible, you know, and what it says. However, there are so many different versions of Christianity out there now, you know, it becomes kind of difficult, I guess is the best word, to really decide which one are you really going to believe in without really diving into all of them and deciding what is credible and what is not. So that's how we...
Why are you now... strictly about Christianity, because your question was, is the Bible credible? What Bible?
Listen. Okay, if we're going to go there, let's say any Bibles, are any of the Bibles credible? Okay?
I was just using
Christianity as an example.
Okay.
I wasn't just picking Christianity. I was using that as an example because that is what I'm more familiar with.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I understand. So that's how I was using Christianity. However, yes, are any of the Bibles credible? That's a good point. Are any of them? So let's just stray away from just one specific one and just go there. Are any of the Bibles credible? Is any of the information in them really actual and have any action on, guidance as far as our daily lives? Are any of them? So, you know, Islam, the Jewish one, the Catholic one, I mean, are any of their specific Bibles teachings credible? You know, that's what we got to say. Now, we got two people with their hands up. I guess we need to bring them in. I'm tired of, they probably tired of listening to me talk. But, hey, we going to talk today, y'all. We are talking today. Let me clarify that again. We are talking today. Okay, we're not arguing. We're not trying to change your point of view. We're just talking. So let me bring Pianki in and 111. Okay. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Oh, it's very nice that you call me a gentleman.
Yeah, hello, how you doing, Mr. Talk?
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Today, I'm going to try to make this my last religious debate. This is a waste of time, but I'm going to try to make this my last one today, so it's a very special day today.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Michael. Why is it a waste of time?
Because it is. Because I'm going to tell you, you asked me the question, let me answer you.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to let you know. If I can factually prove to you that you will always contradict the Bible has contradictions in it, right? It lies on itself. It causes chaos and confusion in the world. And I can clearly prove that to you, right? And you still believe it? It's a waste of time. Because I can go on other, I'd rather talk about life, relationships, how us human beings deal with each other, what we all can clearly can see. And if people want to bring that religion to the conversation, and if they contradict themselves, then I bring it up. But to me personally, just to bring it up, but me personally, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to initiate it no more because it's a waste of time. Because I know nobody don't follow it anyway. That's all I wanted to say so far.
Okay, let me ask you this question then, Michael. Now, I got two things to ask you. Number one, the first question is, what Bible are you talking about? And the second thing is, whatever Bible you're talking about, isn't it supposed to be a guideline for us to live by? So how is it?
Can't be.
Why not?
Well, first of all, you said all Bibles, all of them that man has created is all in one basket. It contradicts itself. It contradicts itself factually. Man has put it involved in it. And it says that one group of individuals, put it like this, it causes division in the world. That's why I want to ask you, all of the Bibles I'm talking about. And number two, I will tell you and Mr. Solution, and when you go to Bible study, tell your preachers this. When you talk about, you say, it tells us how to live. Hold up. There's clearly things with human nature, death, someone killing somebody. We can always know that we try to stop that, right? And we all know that's clear, because that's called heartache and pain. But you say that Bible is a guide for me to live a certain way, meaning that if I follow these rules, I'm going to have a peaceful life. Has not made nobody in this world peaceful, life peaceful even. There is no book that man has written since the beginning of time until this present day that man has read that made his life or her life peaceful. If you want to look at, for instance, I had a show about Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 verses 26 through 27, according to me, according to how you look, Mr. Talk, according to how I look, we are against that Bible. It says, man should not shave his head, the size of his head, and he should not disfigure the size of his beard. That means we can't have a shape-up. You're supposed to look like an Orthodox Muslim or Jew, factually. And they said that's what the commandments that God said, your men supposed to live like this to be holy. He gives a clear description how supposed to be able to live. Come on, I'm not going to live like that, bro. It says people don't supposed to have tattoos on their body. That's why some people discriminate when people have tattoos. It causes division, unnecessary stuff, and it contradicts itself because they're pagans. So, I mean, that's all I want to say so far. Go ahead, Bianca.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you this question then, Michael. you have said a whole lot, but you're missing the point. And like I said, we're not going to argue about this, but you say it causing division. Is it the books that's causing the division, or is it man that's causing division? In any of the as far as any of the Bible,
factually, the book is called the division because it says God chosen a particular group of people that's higher than other people. We're all human beings. The DNA doesn't say that factually. It causes division. It makes other people look at people and say, if she doesn't address exactly like that, would she's a devil. She's sinful. If she has a baby out of wedlock, they're a bastard. They're illegitimate. It causes division. You can clearly see. I can replicate it over and over again.
Yeah, that's true, Mike. I agree with you on that. And Eric, who is
what,
this
I'm
we? Listening. You say it tells us how we suppose. It don't tell us how we. That's for those who, you know, there's many different blacks in America. And one black is the ones that come from Bible history. They got all the right in the world to come from Bible history. But all blacks don't come from that. There's a large number of blacks that come from real earth history. And you hear them on these shows from now and then. Your co-host mentioned Kemet. You got a lot of blacks that follow that history because it was real. It's evidence still there today. So you got two different, distinct blacks. One that comes from the history of the Bible, which they have a right to do. Then you got those who choose not to. And this thing about we is just, it's, you should say those who choose to follow it. Fine. Leave me alone and my kids.
Okay. Let me ask you a question then. Is there a certain book that you follow?
Yes.
Okay.
I follow the yellow pages when I'm looking for. I follow the yellow pages when I'm looking for a business in order to patronize for a particular thing.
Okay. All right.
I follow my GPS when I travel.
Uh huh. Now, see, you're being sarcastic, and you know, no. Is there a religious book you follow, Pianki? I guess I have to be specific with you,
Eric. This is February, right? I'm asking you a question, to answer a question. This
no,
is February.
Don't
it's black
ask me
history.
A question to answer a question. Answer
it's
my
Black
History
question. Month.
Answer
why would
my
I,
original
why
question.
Why would I follow something? I mean, we celebrating Black History Month. And, of course, it's only contained with the beginnings of slavery in the United States. But looking at the broader picture of African history, the book contradicts that. It just totally goes against the principles of it. You know, a lot of things, a lot of people are black because the word black is
Pianki,
so widely
Pianki, wait
used.
A minute, wait a minute, wait
but
a minute.
But that
Pianki,
don't mean
they
African.
Wait a minute. You're giving a little a lecture in a speech, but you never
well,
answered
Mike
my
did
original
too.
Question. No, but Michael said what he had to say. I'm asking you, is there a particular book that you follow? That you,
on the topic
you
of your show.
Religious, that you get religious guidance from?
So I would follow. I read the
Older
Ephah.
The Older Ephah. Okay, what is the Older Ephah?
I read the ethical teachings of Older Ephah.
Okay, is that your religious so called Bible then?
No, it's not religions. It's
well,
has ethical
then?
teachings to it.
Okay.
Huh? It's by
all right.
People that it came from a people that that I more, you know, a lot of us can subscribe to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's
you don't have
give
any...
you a passage that says, if we continually taste sweetness without tasting a little bitterness also, life would be dull. One who has never experienced the hardship of adversity does not really know the pleasures of prosperity. This was the teaching of Ephah for a group of farmers.
Okay, no man ever believes that the Bible means what it says. He is always convinced that it says what he means. He means George Bernard Shaw. What's the point?
George Bernard Shaw said what he wanted to say, just like Samuel Clemens said the same thing
right,
in Huckleberry Finn.
All right, then. Well, I can say the same thing.
And you know another thing too. Mike was absolutely right. It wasn't meant for everybody. It was meant for certain people. They wrote it for themselves. Then it was borrowed, stolen, taken for everybody else.
Well, now I'm glad you said that, because there are certain individuals that would argue that we are that certain people, black people.
No,
so,
there you go. Wait a minute.
There
you go with that
I'm just putting it out there. Hold on. I got somebody else on the line. Maybe they can put some clarity to it, because you're talking in riddles right now. All right, area code 901. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Talk, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Who do I have here?
It's Perry Steele.
Oh, okay. Dang, Perry.
Hey, Perry, what's going on, man? I really miss you.
Yeah, I miss y'all too. Yeah.
So,
say anything, I'd like to ask a question of all of y'all. Have y'all heard from Ebony Empress? You know,
she was on
the show in the UK, and I wonder if she's doing all right.
Yeah, she's doing fine. She was on the show yesterday.
Oh, good. Because I was just reading. They got the worst flood in 200 years over there. So I was hoping she'd be all right.
Yeah, she's good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was listening to your conversation about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a really extensive show about the Bible. And it is full of contradictions, a lot of contradictions. But you have to understand the context of man. Man has never, ever understand the superior powers that that so-called govern his existence. And he would always try to interpret it, and his interpretations were limited with his own personal experience and his lack of mental cognition of what he was actually looking at. If you look in Revelations is full of descriptive connotations, you know, that John made, you know. So, and then you look at the Bible, stepped on, wrote, look at the Mormon's Bible, you know, man's interpretation. Somebody took a Bible and rewrote it. Look at the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Somebody took a Bible, rewrote it, you know, and all the different types of sects, and, you know, different people, you know, Presbyterians. Look at the Catholics. You know, the Bible explicitly speaks about not having idols, going to Catholic Church. Look at the Pope. You know, the Pope, man, you know, if you're going to talk about people being deceived, well, the Pope is one of the most biggest deceivers. He's even called the Vicar of Christ, you know, the Antichrist. I mean, you know, I've come to the stark conclusion that man does not know how to interpret his creator. It's just like a pot asking a potter, why have thou made me? He doesn't have the ability to interpret it, you know. He really does. So that's what... like Mike was alluding to, it does lead to confusion. Look what the Jews were told to do, the Hebrews were told to do, to the people that were already occupying the country, that so-called promised land. You know, and Priyanka said a long time ago, when was God in real estate? You know, if you're going to give your promised people a land, why is it just a little bit bigger than Washington, D.C.? I mean, just a little bit bigger than Washington, D.C. You know, that little small strip of land. Why couldn't it be bigger?
Yeah, Cana.
Look how Saul lost his job.
How you going
to
show up one day and say, your God, say this is my land?
Woman and child.
Can he finish?
You know? Mm-hmm. So, it brings about a division. And a lot of people I know now, they don't read the first part of the Bible. They just read the New Testament. They don't go back in the first part. It's just like you go in the classroom and the teacher tell you, don't read the first 20 chapters of the book. Just open the book up and we'll start from chapter 21. You know, that's where people interpret the Bible. You know, people say, well, God is good, God is merciful. Well, ask the folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ask the Pharaoh of Egypt how good and merciful he was. You know, it's just been, you know, like, I think Jesus said that if I don't return, even the very elect will be deceived. So, like I said, I did a show on the Bible, and there's some things in there, man. I'm telling you, man, it's you know, you can't really, you know, relate to it. You know, Mr. Talk, Barack Obama made a speech about the Bible, and it was June the 28th, 2006, and I was wondering, have you ever played it?
Mm-hmm.
You played it?
No, I haven't played it. I'm listening to you.
Yeah,
no,
I'm just saying it's real, real short. Could I run it for you?
Uh-huh.
All right, check this out.
Yeah, go ahead, play it.
It's your president.
Play it. Okay.
This your president. We're our president.
Now, he's not Pianki's president.
Is a scripture should guide our public policy. Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application? Folks haven't been reading the Bible.
Senator
Obama. You said that right. Folks hadn't been reading their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used the Bible to justify slavery when black folks first got here. You know? They also used the Bible to justify illegal wars. You know? God bless America. You know, that's what they say. So when you look at the context of what the Bible is used for, you know, and people ask me, well, do you believe in the Bible? I have to, you know, tell them, you know, right off the bat, I believe in some of the things of the Bible. You know, loving your brother and treating your neighbor as you would treat yourself. I believe in some of the things of the Bible. But you got to understand, back in those days, those people had different laws, different religions and things that were taught. You know, I ask people all the time, I say, well, where do you get Christmas from? I read Genesis to Revelation. There's no Christmas there. Where do you get Easter from? You know, I read it. There's no Easter there. You know, people put what they want to in it. Some folks use a couple of scriptures to justify their actions. Not chapters, not you know, just a couple of scriptures, maybe a verse or two. So, in you know, putting this all in context, I think we really have to soul search. We really have to soul search, like Barack said, President Barack said. Some people ain't reading about it. I think we really have to soul search and find God for ourselves.
Hmm.
That's what I really think we have to do. We have to find it for ourselves. You can't rely on that book.
You know, that's a very good statement. I mean, that's a very good point you just made. However, in all those examples you gave, you know, once again, it's open to man's interpretation. Now,
right now,
we kind of stuck on the King James Bible, but the Quran is used by, you know, people who are blowing up things, you know, as
I
a guide.
I got that too.
That's what it says. So, you know, once again, it goes back. Does any of this take the credibility away from these books, or, you know, is it man's interpretation that is constantly trying to take credibility from something that's already credible?
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that the Quran is used by people that's blowing up things.
Yeah, I mean,
the Bible
a lot of
is used by people that's blowing up things.
Exactly.
And you might
that's
well call the Quran a Bible too.
You know, that's what I'm saying. That's
exactly what I'm saying. Everybody believes in the Quran don't blow up in everything. I mean, blow up everything. And everybody believes in the Bible don't blow up in everything. But you remember the Crusades? We had the Crusades, 7 Crusades, you know?
Yeah, and you talk about Black Wall Street. What was the religion of those who bombed Black Wall Street? We always hear black folks complaining about.
Christianity. What was the religion of the one that poisoned those blankets and gave to the Indians? In the trail of the
Okay, but yet, I mean, I understand all this horrible stuff that has happened, but yet that was still under man's interpretation. But what about the actual information?
No, that's not true, Rick, because when they went to bomb Japan, the priest, not the priest, but the minister.
Chapman,
there you go. Chapman read a passage out of it.
Okay.
So
and
come on
then,
now. It wasn't no interpretation. It's what he read.
But no. You see, it's still under the interpretation of what he read. Hold on, let me bring Beasley in. Beasley want to get a piece of this conversation as well. Hello,
yeah,
Mr. Beasley.
Good.
How are you today?
Good, and yourself? Good afternoon
Doing
to
wonderful.
The panel. I'm listening. I just want to object a little bit to what you said. There's like a billion Muslims in the world that read the Quran, and I don't know how many of them actually read the Quran. But to say that they're blowing up things and ignore...
No, okay, hold on. Wait.
I'm not attacking you. I'm just making
a
point.
That wasn't the point. I didn't mean all Muslims. I'm saying radical ones are using the Quran just like as some of regular Christians are using the Bible to interpret what they mean. I mean, what they wanted
George,
to say.
George Bush is a born-again Christian. I watched on television him blow Baghdad up. Shock and awe.
God bless America.
Okay.
Right.
Tony
Blair
says
with the Bible in his hand, with Christians in support of it.
And it was a lie.
Tony Blair is quoted as saying Western values has to triumph over Islam.
I mean, I watched that happen. I watched them blow that city up, and people. I mean, it was a good show. It was a good fireworks show. But you know, how many innocent people got killed in that? How many women and children? When you start just going blowing up buildings, that's all. I mean, the Bible. You guys are covering it pretty well. I didn't know that Obama was out there like that. I didn't know that Obama was out there like that. He's act. You know, he's talking common sense, and now. But now when he runs for office, you know, he swears that he's a Christian. And I guess, you know what? I guess he could call himself a Christian, but he sounds like a thinking man, like an intellectual, like a historian or something when he's making those points about the Bible, which are true.
Well, Beasley, it's just this. Today you got blacks, for instance, that say that we are. No, you got blacks, as I said before, that are Bible history blacks. You got blacks that are earth history blacks. The two
mm-hmm.
are the difference. And the thing is that the other ones that is Bible history need to stop saying we as generously as they are. They should better define who the we is, because, I mean, that's offensive, very much so.
I think so. Just listen here on Blog Talk Radio. You got black folks that identify all kinds of ways. You have Moors. You have Christians. You have Muslims. You have folks that are into Kemet, Egyptology, black folks
absolutely.
Are like any other people. Right, exactly. I agree with what you're saying.
And
that's
those
all.
That is coming out of the Bible, they need to go ahead and do your thing. Get ready
well, you know,
for your God when they come back, your Yah, whatever he is.
For
and
a
Jesus.
Politician, the Bible is advantageous because, you know, a lot of people go to church. And the first thing they're going to ask a politician is, especially if he's black, what church you're a member of? That's why I tell people all the time. That's why, Mitt Romney didn't win, you know, because if you did a thorough examination of the Mormon's Bible, it totally contradicts what Christianity is about. So I had predicted anyway. I said, well, Mitt Romney's not going to win. I might as well stay at home because these Christian Bible thumpers are not going to put no Mormons. You know, in the White House, they're not going to do it. You know,
the Mormons have some. I'm not sure what it is, but they've got some strange dogma in their beliefs too.
Yeah,
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but some real strange dogma. Well, I don't know if it's any stranger than a man walking on water and a virgin giving birth and all the other dogmas.
Well, like I said, you know, I heard, I don't know how accurate it is, but a lot of the people that wrote in the New Testament never seen Christ. You know, some of the books in the New Testament, they never even seen him, you know. And then, like, his existence, you know, his resurrection was supposed to have been wiped from history. You know, and you ask Jewish people, you know, denounce him. The Torah said that Jesus Christ is in hell, swimming in excrement. And that his mother is a prostitute among carpenters.
Uh-huh.
Jewish people, you know, like I said, the Torah, they, that's what they believe. They don't believe he's a man of God or the son of God. Excuse me, son of God.
They recognize him as a prophet, though, right?
Not necessarily. No, they totally defame him. They totally defame him. You know, I question sometimes these white people's so-called allegiance to these Jews when the Jews was the one that persecuted and had it murdered, and yet still, if you look up the Torah, look at the Torah, you know, we're not just Gentile, we Gomies. Goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, Goyim, yeah. And they said we had no rights. No rights to him.
But
you
who is the
him.
We?
If a Jew steal from a Goyim, there's no
okay.
Redress.
Right, he doesn't have to make any.
Right. I tell white people sometimes, I said, don't you read the Torah or read what's in the Torah when it comes to Gentiles? The Jews, you know, I'm not saying all Jews, because you got Christian Jews, so I can't put everybody in one big box. But you got some Jews that think the whole world's supposed to serve them. The whole world's supposed to serve. Even the Bible said that the Jews will end up being the enemy of all men.
Mm.
And they don't even know Jesus Christ took away the so-called inheritance and gave it to people that don't even know his name. But people don't never mention that out of the Bible. The Bible states that. I had to find it for you. But, yeah, they mentioned that. They even said that, you know, the Jews slain all the prophets of God. But the first thing you know, white folks running down there, you know, to get their money to the Jews. I can't put, like I said, I don't want to be inclusive. I can't say, like, just like I can't say all black people.
No, you make sense.
I can't say all Jewish people.
You're making sense. And it's a, we come from a Judeo-Christian culture. They place the two together.
Well, that's because they was conquerors. People came in with guns and everything else. I mean, what else are you going to do? And that's exactly how that stuff started. You know what? Blacks in America spoke French. I mean, the history of St. Louis, where I am. Blacks didn't speak English in St. Louis. They were speaking French.
That's why they call it
St. Louis. It's quite evident. Absolutely.
That's why they call it St. Louis.
Blacks spoke elegant French before they even began to speak English.
In that part of the country.
And that's why France was involved in the Revolution.
Well, yeah. And you know, here's another thing. The Mississippi River was an international boundary. All the land from the East Coast up to the Mississippi River was part of international boundaries. It was not defined as that being of the United States. So things change. People come in with a mess, and thus you have it. And people have a right to believe that stuff. But the point is when you start telling other people and start asserting and all that stuff and messing with their kids, that's where the problem starts right there. The line needs to be drawn. If you want to go to heaven, if you believe in Jesus, fine. Nobody's telling you not to do that. But leave our kids alone. We don't believe in that stuff. And all black people are not the same.
We're not monolithic.
In America.
Okay.
The world, right? I have no problem with atheists, though, or people who profess not to believe. I have no problem with them at all. Because I've seen some of them come up with some very scientific logical conclusions of the absence of the divine one. But one thing I will state for the record is that I still believe. And it's all based on faith. Faith is a thing hoped for but not seen. So I still believe. Because theoretically speaking, after sitting back looking at my life, I do not believe I would be this far if it had not been for this superior power. I do not believe it. I've got too much evidence in my life that he exists. But I don't have to base it off of Bible. I don't have to base it off of Bible. I found that for myself.
Okay, let me ask this question to the panel then, and I'm just asking a question. How many of you actually read any type of Bible? Any of you read any type of Bible?
I read a whole lot of them.
I don't.
I read the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I got a Holy Quran I go through when I want to check what somebody said on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I'm talking about as far as your own personal guidance.
No, I don't. I don't need this for no guidance. I never put up a building using faith. I put up that building using facts based on many years of experience of putting up structural steel building, and I didn't pray it up. We put it up with well-skilled men.
Yeah, but you had faith that when you entered the project that it was going to turn out okay.
I had faith in them.
That's faith. That may not be faith,
yeah, faith
in God,
in the
but that's still faith.
I had confidence in them. If they didn't do it, I was going to fire them. Simple as that.
I like them Ten Commandments myself. I like them. I got them on my doors in my home.
Why do you like them?
Well, they keep me on an even keel. You know, they keep me on an even keel, and I find my life being much more comfortable when I adhere to them. It just makes me comfortable, put it that way. So much so that I cut them out the Bible. I didn't go get them printed somewhere. I cut them out. You see, my Bible, Exodus 20, I cut them out, went to a printing shop and blowed them up and put them on the wall. I sleep on them, too. I got a copy of it under my mattress.
I'll send you a copy of the 42 Declarations of Innocence.
Mm. Independence, huh?
Yeah, I wish I had seen you when I was down there in Memphis.
And wait a minute, Pianke, and so what makes that so different? What makes those different from the Ten Commandments?
Because they existed, and that's where people derived the Ten Commandments from.
Oh. So, and who wrote those?
Who wrote those? They wrote 10,000 years before any Ten Commandments.
But who wrote them? Who wrote them?
It was written by the people in Northeast Africa. Coming
okay.
up out of down the Nile River.
Okay.
And you can read them today. You can read them today, carved in stone, Eric. That's the difference between carving something in stone than writing them on paper
okay,
or papyrus
so,
at the
so,
time.
So let me get this correct. So basically, what you're saying, because it's written in stone, it is
no,
more
I'm
believable
not
or more
I'm
credible
saying,
because it's written on stone instead of paper.
No, but ask yourself this question, Eric: Would not the people that came up with this idea first be more just as credible as somebody else who borrowed from it and all of a sudden say this is it?
But the point is, it's Pianke, and the point is, it still was written by a human, correct?
It was written by a human being, yes. It was written by a human being.
Okay, then. So
that means it
was still open to interpretation, correct?
It was written by a human being that probably looked like you and I.
What does that even matter, Pianke?
This is what it matters, Eric. As I said before, why would you – if we came in tomorrow and said that Billy Graham made the I Have a Dream speech, would you not be – not tomorrow, but 50 years from now, would you not be offended?
Well, I mean, because I know, yeah, he didn't write it. Well, hell, for that case –
How you know he didn't write it? He just said it. I mean, you got kids standing around, whatever, they listening to not Billy Graham, but his son. And he's given the I Have a Dream speech, and he adds some stuff to it. Now, would you feel offended if the children gravitate to it more so than Martin Luther King? Martin Luther King is not even mentioned. It's Billy Graham's grandson. I mean, that's what the points are. I mean, I don't mind people borrowing things.
It's a good point, and you can apply the same point to Elvis.
It would still be open to interpretation because they added to it, right?
Yeah, they added. They took for it because they said your Ten Commandments give you room to go out and do the sin again and again and again. Whereas with negative confession, say I have not. It don't say thou shall not. It says I have not.
Oh, so now we playing with the words. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Let me bring 313 in the house and let them add to the conversation. Hello, 313. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just listening, brother. I hit the button by accident.
Okay, sister. Mm.
So if you were standing in front of a judge and you've been indicated for stealing. Somebody that's using the 42 declarations of Mod would say, I have not stole, rather than somebody who's using today's present Ten Commandments said, I will not steal. Now, which one is more credible in front of that court of law?
Isn't that the
English
vernacular, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same.
No, it's not the vernacular. That's the way the laws are written.
No, exactly. But it's still left to whoever listening how they're going to interpret what it's saying.
Yeah, but if you say, I have not stolen, you're making a statement that you haven't stolen. If you're saying I will not steal, that means you're saying I will not steal anything from this point on.
But
in the comedic, Eric,
okay.
You have the person who has died. They are coming to their heart is weighed against the feather of Maad. Maad is truth, justice, righteousness, reciprocity, harmony, order. If their heart, then they're supposed to answer to the 42 Declaration. They have 12 judges listening to them. And once their trial is over, then the 12 judges will either hold up the symbol of life, which is the Ankh, or they will hold up the symbol of death. You got a beast that's sitting there that would eat them. So where does this idea of the 12 judges come from? You have 12 netters that's judging this individual.
12 disciples.
No, it's not 12 disciples. You got 12 jurors on a trial, right?
Right.
Okay, wait a minute, hold up.
Now, let me ask you a question there. Have you ever heard of that before?
Let me ask you a question.
Let me get real quick. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, let me.
Why not?
Let me ask this damn question.
All right, go ahead.
Put yourself on the sideline. All right, now, you just said, you mentioned the 12 judges, right? So the 12 judges was in what? What was the 12 judges in?
Well, this is the scene where a person who have died, and they come to answer for what good deeds that they've done in their life.
All right, stop right there.
What if came out of their heart?
Okay, stop right there. So now you take that 12, and as in the King James Version, all right, who got the music, really? In the King James Version, right, of the Bible, you have one man, well, really, one man sitting there doing the same thing, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not this difference in King James. They don't have nobody judging you. They don't have no jurors,
at
no netters.
No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. At death, you go to heaven and you got to stand in front of before God and be judged, correct?
Well, I'm not entirely sure about it in the Bible, but I can only give credit to where it is.
I'm just saying
the judgment scene. and the point is, Eric, this exists before any Moses coming up on Mount Haran in one story, and what's the other? Mount Arafat or whatever it is.
Once again. All right, I'm gonna ask this question then, and this is weird, but here it is. In this case, let me ask you this: with these 12 or whatever, what are you talking about? Have there been any archaeological or any type of proof found that any of this existed?
But the judgment? Yes.
Okay, besides the writing, where's this judgment taking place? That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Oh. Huh?
Sorry for the interruption, Eric. Yeah, what would you say?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What I was saying was, is there any proof that this judging took place?
Is there any? Well, it was their idea of what went down
in the afterlife, or
in the afterlife? Yes.
Okay, so you have a different interpretation of the afterlife.
Yeah, exactly.
It would make sense that you would have 12 people working on it, or 12 entities working on it, because, well, at least I know in this day and age, 250,000 people die every day. God wouldn't have much time for anything else.
Be awful busy, wouldn't it?
Wow, okay.
A lot of gavel striking.
Well, you know, I have my take on that also. How's that done? But here's the question. Once again, does that take credibility away from any of these books or teachings that we follow?
If you was to go out today and try to post Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech in a book or something without getting permission, you would be in trouble.
I still have to put that voice name on.
But yet does that take credibility away from the speech?
It doesn't take credibility. Yeah, I can hear you, Perry. It doesn't take credibility from away from the speech. But Yes, we can.
Yeah, we can hear you.
But it doesn't take credibility from the speak, but it takes credibility from the origin. Especially when you come along and say that the origin, the people of the origin, never created a civilization. They never done anything good. It was nothing but a bunch of damn animals.
Right.
Right. You follow me?
I understand what you're saying.
They say, when they write, it said that the people was Negroid, but was not Negro.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about white supremacy.
Okay.
No. What he's saying is that these things that came later than this 42, which I don't know about what he's talking about, but I'm assuming that there's some truth to it, that these things that came after were used to suppress black folks and any other people of color as less than human. And it's part of the reason why all the power is where it is today.
Listen, here's John Burgess, who was a scholar of the day. He said, a black skin means membership in a race of men which has never created civilization of any kind. There is something natural in the subordination of an inferior race, even to the point of enslavement of the inferior race.
But yet,
Richard Burton, who was exploring a writer, he said, the study of a Negro is the study of man's rudimentary mind. He would appear rather a degeneracy from the civilized man than a savage rising to the first step. There is not for his total incapacity for his improvement. That's what they said.
That's what they taught, too. That was taught in colleges.
Absolutely. That's
too.
What they taught in colleges.
Uh-huh.
And they said that you was uncivilized until they came and gave you what? The Bible. Didn't have no religion.
Well, you know how they
didn't
do
have
it.
No idea of on how to treat mankind.
Okay, Pianti, doesn't that represent the misuse of the scriptures as opposed to saying that the scriptures have no validity at all? Just a question.
No, it does not, because what it is, you're not being, like I asked Eric, have you ever heard this before? He said, no. You haven't heard of what's yours. You only have what somebody else has gave you, and they fashion it and form it for themselves.
Let me restate the question. My question to you was, what you just expressed about some person writing about the status of African people, I asked the question, doesn't that represent the misuse of religion scriptures as opposed to saying that the scriptures have no validity or credibility?
No, it don't, because every ethnic group creates their own religion for themselves. They don't create it for everybody else.
Religion. That's not what I asked you.
I just said to you, it does not. It has nothing to do about the misuse. It's people create religions for themselves. How they use it is how they use it.
Yeah. The question is not about religion. The question is about the scriptures.
I'm sorry. The scripture. They create the scripture. Scriptures, which is part of religion, comes out of people's culture. They use it how they want to.
Exactly. So they misused it, correct?
No, they didn't misuse it. They use it the way they want to.
It's a tool for them. That's what he's saying, ma'am. It's a tool for them.
How you doing, Perry?
Hey, what's going on?
Henry Berry, the Virginia House of Representatives, said, we have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which the light may enter the slave's mind. Listen to that. We have closed every avenue by which the light may enter the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would be on the level of the beasts of the fields, and we then should be safe.
I played that. That was an adaptation out of Deuteronomy, too.
We have a comment in the chat room that says, that type of reasoning is beyond the scope of this discussion. You cannot misuse religion. You can misuse anything.
You can misuse anything. We got people that sacrifice babies for religion.
Thank you.
And kill virgins.
Wasn't Abraham getting ready to sacrifice Isaac?
Sure was. His only son.
Did not David take the, he wanted the man's wife, so didn't he not put the man on the front line so he could get killed?
And God killed the first baby they had, too. The Bible said that. Not out of my mouth. God killed that baby. Him and Bathsheba's baby. He killed that baby.
Do we not put people that's in the death, that's sentenced to death in that old contraption down in Florida called Old Sparky, where flames and sparks be flying out of their head as they being electrocuted?
I don't think they have the electric chair in Florida anymore, do they?
Well, Old Sparky was a...
Sundays drink wine to symbolize the blood and eat bread to symbolize the flesh?
Cannibals.
That's what I'm about to say here.
Yeah, you're right.
And cannibals.
Oh,
then,
Lord. Come on,
blame
now.
Africans
really?
For being
really?
I mean, eat blood. I mean, eat flesh and drink blood.
That's
you
a cannibal.
What, y'all, you know what? Y'all really, really, y'all just took that and just ran with it, huh?
People
well,
always
ran
misuse
with that,
religion.
Right?
The topic, is the Bible,
you know,
credible.
Justified,
that's
you know,
right.
Killing other people. They've always
now,
used it.
Now,
here's the thing.
The wine and the bread as the body was symbolic. It wasn't actually eating anybody's body, man. Really?
Well, they did on the crusades.
If you weren't in that religion, what would you think?
And on the crusades, they cracked their skulls and ate their brains. And on the crusades, what were they going? They was going to find what? The Holy Grail, supposedly been the cup that Jesus drank out of during the Last Supper.
Neither one of them to do that.
Once again, we're rolling in the interpretation and assumption, right?
No.
I didn't know it's in print, right in front of your face.
It's in print. You can't. The only thing you can go by is what's written. That's all, like Barack said, some people aren't reading the Bible.
You're right.
Or maybe they're reading
it's
it
in print.
Maybe they're reading it and then misinterpreting it, right?
No, they're not. You heard what I played you.
The parts he talked about were pretty clear.
You heard about Leviticus, you know, stoning your own children.
How plain can it be, Eric?
It's in print.
You got to go by what's wrote.
Oh, okay. So
you're not gonna go in anybody's class in college and read anything in any advanced technology and say, well, this is just a mere interpretation. No.
Well,
why not? Why couldn't I do
that? It's not a mere interpretation if it's based on fact.
That's a different circumstance because the Bible's been translated from many languages.
Well, see, once again,
different languages.
Well,
right.
you can go back to ancient to Greek read it there. And you know another thing, where are these people's schools? These Hebrew schools, where are the universities? What did they do marvelous?
Kill a lot of people.
When armies back in them days, they went out to battle, their deity led them in battle as their ark. The Assyrians had Ashur. The Babylonians had Amun, I think. I may not be mistaken. Yahweh had Yahweh. Yahweh got his butt cooked. Josiah, he got his butt kicked by Necho the Second. You don't. That's not mentioned.
You know what they did? Incredible. Pianchi?
What's that?
They created the idea of interest.
Yeah, and the Bible speaks against that.
And banking. That's what they did. Incredible, and that's why they have power to this day.
If you don't convert, they'll kill you.
They created what's called fractional banking.
Fractional reserve
Or should we
banking.
Say debt finance. That's where they got a hit.
Right.
Anytime you can take a $100,000 mortgage promissory note to the Federal Reserve and they would lend you $900,000, and then you won't let other countries around the world monetize their – listen, you won't let other countries in the world monetize their minerals and their natural resources. What I mean by that, if you're sitting on – $1 billion worth of aluminum, then that country should have a right to print money based on that fact that's in the ground. But
Wait,
the West
hold
said,
on,
oh,
hold,
no.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. All right.
No, hey, Michael.
Now, what is this? Okay, I hear what you're saying, but what does this have to do with any Bibles being credible? Please break it to me.
Well, you know, it's the point.
It has to do with what the Jews or the Hebrews, what they did that was incredible.
It has to do with what your attention should be on, what is being distracted by something that's worthless. Negroes been praying forever. But look, as I said before, Perry and Beast, I think y'all would agree.
Wait, stop. Because see, now you have just put everybody in one big pigeonhole. Why does this have to be Negroes? Religion is more about just black folk, wouldn't you think?
I've been praying forever.
Okay, and you still breathing, so.
Listen, Eric, for black people in America was told at least three distinct things, and they did pursue them. One, they learned how to speak English. They became, they in a shorter period of time, done what no other immigrant group or no other group has done in this country. They came from a point of illiteracy to a point of literacy in a shorter period of time than anybody else. So they was told they need to speak English. Then they was told they need to have Jesus. Blacks pray more than anybody. Then they was told
they learned how to read.
That was the first read. Let me give you the last one. The last one they said that you need to vote.
No, we didn't have the right to vote.
We didn't have the right to vote, but we needed to be able to vote. I got to get out of here. I got to go get my grandson.
Yeah, you
Perry,
do that.
Perry, stay in touch.
I will.
Yeah, you do that.
All right,
you know,
then.
You know, I've been banned
from BPR, before you get out of here, Pianki.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this question real fast, Pianki. So, in your opinion, which I already know, is the Bibles credible? Any of them?
What do you mean? Is it historically credible?
Yes, are they credible at all? Rather
historically, no, it's not.
Or it's
and
today?
Here's the reason. Here's the reason,
uh-huh.
Because people say it's the
Wait
word
minute,
of who.
Stop. Wait a minute. Stop. Now, hold on. Now, let me clarify. I'm not just talking about one Bible. I'm talking about all of them, all these special books out there. Are they credible?
I haven't read them all, but they're probably credible to the people that adhere to them. But in real life, in real the course of happenings in the world, they're not credible. No, they are not.
You know what? You just jumped over the fence and then hopped in the middle of it and then jumped on one side.
You know,
and
the thing that I try to defend, Eric, and this is the truth. I try to defend the history of black African people. And when I hear something that's totally not correct, if that applies, then, you know, I come in there and say, well, that's just not true. I mean, we all should do that. It's the same way with Bob Marley, but
that's still your interpretation of what you believe is true and what's not true, correct? And you're going to stick by that.
You might do that.
Well, let's put it like
this.
There was no, when it was being written, there was no such thing as copyright laws. You know that it was no copyright laws when it was being written. So if it had been copyright laws and patents at that time, then a lot of it that you read today probably wouldn't ever exist.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right.
You said the Bible credible. I guess it's subject to debate.
Subject to debate.
That's what we're doing, debating it.
Yeah, and?
Oh, that's fine.
You know, but here's the interesting thing. When we say Bible, it automatically jumps to one Bible. Well, what about the rest of them? Understand? You see what I'm saying? It seems as though when you say Bible, automatically everybody jumps on the King James Bible.
But you know what would put
the Mormon Bible, huh?
But you know what would put the debate to rest? If
what
the author were to appear to all men and straighten the whole mess out. Let's say you had a house full of 10 children, and you were never there, and they were always arguing about who you were. And two or three of them got to fight, and the other two or three went to become isolates. You know, they didn't want to have nothing to do with anybody. And the other two or three, you know, just fell into depravity. You know, so you sitting up there, you the father of all these children, and you just peeping in the window. But if you could walk through that door and straighten out all 10 of them children, then their divisions would be dissolved. But if the author of the Bible could show up, then it would, what? The Quran, the Bible, you know, all these different sects, you know, the Sunnis, the Shiites, you know, they arguing over Muhammad's nephews, you know, all this would be solved. All of it would be solved. Atheists would believe, or they would, yeah, like I said, they would believe. All this would be solved. If God could just show up, then the Bibles or the books that are blasphemy or not accurate would be discarded, and he could straighten out all of this with just his mere presence. He just is, if you woke up one day and looked out at the sky and said, ooh, who's this giant person here? And he said, look, I created you, and I'm going to set all of y'all straight. You know, I love you. I could destroy all of you. You know, the Bible speaks about the rapture, and it also speaks about, you know, Armageddon. And a lot of people get confused with Armageddon, you know. But it's heavenly hosts coming down on the earth and destroying people, not people destroying people. But what if he said, well, look, I'm just going to straighten this whole thing out. If you, like, back to that example I gave you, what if you were that father and you walked into that house where all those children were separated and you slew all of them, just killed all of them, you know? I'm just saying, I tell people all the time, I wish God would come and straighten this whole thing out. And then people could see for themselves the wanton destruction and the murder that they brought upon themselves because they was confused in his absence. In his absence. If you got little children, like you got little children now, if the mother and father are not there, they'll tear the house down. And that's right. What mankind is doing, tearing the earth down.
Mm-hmm. That's
what
mankind
is doing. Look at all these different scriptures we got. You know, this guy told me it was 7 different Jesus. I said, well, I went, looked in the Bible from Egyptian times all the way up to the Hebrews and the Christians through all that time. Christianity emanated out of Egypt, you know, in a different form. So like I said, man, we've been, you know, I wanted to do a piece one time called The Absent God. And could I come to a logical conclusion that if this absent parent were to appear, were to come back, what would be the solution? What would be the remedy of his appearance? That's
you
what
know,
I look
Mr.
at.
Talk?
Yes.
Mr. Talk.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing wonderful.
You know,
yourself?
I think it's very interesting that we create, but yet we don't even acknowledge that we have the true essence of this so-called God within ourselves. We can't look at one another and see wisdom and righteousness in one another. If you know, my children, I am their goddess. I created them. Their father is their God. We created them. We came together and created children. This is our problem. See, I'm sure if there's a God up in heaven, he's looking and saying, you know, I done put all this in these people, and they still lost. They have not taken the time to go within themselves and connect with everything. I mean, what is so hard about us dealing with reality? We can believe in fantasy. Oh, yes. We can believe in all the fantasy that good book has presented to us that has been ingrained in us from the time when you were an infant. Your parents believed in all of this. My parents, when they left here, they were going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
To the by and by, you know, and ain't nobody come back from the grave. Now, their essence might still be with us, and we can still call on our people and help ask them for direction. But this fantasy that we have been in, you know, we are still slaves because we have not been able to untrain ourselves by just dealing with reality. Just dealing with reality. There are universal laws that are much greater than man-made laws. And if you succumb to man-made laws, then you have limited the most magnificent, powerful, intelligent essence in the universe. How can we do that?
Oh my, that is that is the first time I heard that today. And you know what? That is true. That is true.
That'll make you go, hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what she said is true.
Yeah.
It is. You know, and
we got nothing else to rely on.
That's right.
We got
nothing
else
to rely on.
You know, we all have information. I'm sure you know, you said, my mind told me not to do this. And I went on and did it because I just kept on thinking on the thing, trying to figure out how I'm going to make something happen. And your spirit already said to you, and I'm using spirit because I can't think of another word to say, but your essence has said to you, leave that nigga alone, or go on down this way. And when you think about it or somebody call you, man, did you accident, and you say, damn, I'm so glad I went the other way. I started to go that way.
Uh-huh.
So when we listen to our greater selves, we have all the answers. You can ask a question when you go to bed and say, I need to know this information right here, and wake up in the morning and have your answer.
That's how we treat people.
I don't understand why we, you know, the slave master put into our brain computers what he wanted to put into our brain computer. And the stories that our ancestors received biblically during the enslavement era, do you realize they're the same stories that we get today? Nothing
has changed.
The slave master
and his children were slaves as well to that philosophy. They believed it as well.
They learn something different because black people don't know nothing about the Pope in Rome in the Vatican. White people know who that is. They know that the Pope sits in the seat of Christ, and he has the power over all the churches in existence in the world. The Authorized Version,
King James Version,
is authorized, and we think that that is the only Bible because Catholicism, the Catholics, sanctioned that Bible. That Constantine in the 1600s,
the Roman Empire, the only
sanctioned
Holy
that
Roman
Bible
Empire.
To be written.
Uh-huh.
And so this was somebody who was trying to conquer the world.
And Constantine Constantine is the only Roman emperor that wasn't assassinated either. He died of a natural death. Until they fell into depravity, and then the barbarians took him over.
Well, he had every disease there was. He said he was a nasty scoundrel.
Well, he lived longer than the rest of them. He's the only one that died of natural death because back then everybody was nasty.
They didn't have
proper sanitation.
They didn't take too many showers.
That's true.
No, they didn't.
Well, not everybody, because the dark people on the planet were considered as gods. The land
of
the...
I don't know about that.
Oh, absolutely. You need to study about yourself because
that's why
we're having this discussion right now, because we don't know who we are. We don't know what our people wrote. That is a problem. Because your information is in your face every day, sir, and you can't recognize it. That's the problem.
They said black people had empires while white folks dwelled in caves. Well, now, if you look at Africa and the despicable condition of the inhabitants of the continent of Africa, those people still what they call third world. They can't make it by themselves.
The land is not polluted. The air is clean. The water is fresh. You got everything growing on the continent that you can imagine. God kissed you with melanin. So I don't know what you're talking about. That's the land that everybody want
to
get. Everybody's trying to buy a piece of it because it's the richest piece of real estate on the planet. So you can talk and believe all that negative stuff about who your ancestors are and where they came from, but it's to our demise that we don't recognize who we are.
Well, a big part of the reason why Africa's in the condition that it's in, Perry, is because of colonialism.
Right. They didn't want to have, you know, they didn't want to industrialize Africa. America and the French and the Brits walked away from it. Now we're realizing its natural potential. You know, a
what
lot of Africa's potential is untapped.
Africa is sustaining all of the European world. They get all their natural resources from the continent of Africa and
they
other areas of the world that's below the equator.
They've been stealing
it
for centuries. They steal it.
Right. Not to mention you're talking about natural resources. Well, what about the natural resources that are extremely valuable, like gold, silver, platinum, diamonds?
Listen,
all of that comes
uranium.
From
right.
Everything.
They steal it. They've been stealing it.
And not only that, see, one thing about the Bible that you're dealing with today is because not only have they taken your history, your land, your culture, everything, they also took our spirituality, our humanity. They took all of that from us. We don't know how to retrieve it. We don't know how to retrieve it. So when we talk about religion, spirituality, that is like the last frontier for us to conquer, because we are the people who gave the world God, a concept of God, even though the world didn't even understand what we were talking about. We were talking about the attributes of God. When we saw a bird going through the heavens, flying gracefully, smoothly, swiftly, that's an attribute of God. Not that we worship the bird, but
they
the bird
the
is part of
and
life.
They worship the sun and the moon and the trees, too.
The Egyptians made all of those things gods, though.
Yeah.
The Egyptians worshipped the bird for that reason. They worshipped the sun.
Yeah, they
did. Worshipped the moon.
They made statues. Look at the lions.
Right.
And pyramids.
Right.
But yeah. Perry, well, first let me greet Sister Ottawa. How you doing?
My sister.
I just wanted to ask Perry a question because I think it was you who said they didn't want to industrialize Africa. And was that you, Perry, that said that? Well, my question was, do you think that had been colonized and attacked, that it would have naturally evolved as the other continents have industrialized, or whatever they would have chosen to pursue? I mean, in other words, it sounds like when you say they didn't want to industrialize Africa, it's like Africa didn't have the ability to, you know, evolve its own culture in whatever direction it wanted.
Well, you speak of evolving culture, and I know men are men, and there's wars on all continents, but I was just stating the fact that, you know, you look at the Congo, you look at East Timor, you look at CAR, you know, Central African Republic, and you look at the wars, and then you look at the abject poverty. And a white guy came on my show one time, and he was talking about Africa, and he guided me to a Google map. And he said, look at the earth at night, and you see lights on the European continent, the North American continent, but the continent of Africa is just black, except for South Africa. And, you know, he's making the point that these individuals had not gotten adapted to or assimilated into the mainstream of society. Therefore, they were depriving themselves of their own greatness. You know,
in my humble opinion,
the Africans could have destroyed the British Empire when they first came here. They all united, and all the different tribes, all they do is fight against each other. Look at South Africa after Nelson Mandela died. They said Nelson Mandela went into prison a lion and came out a pussycat. And now they're rioting in South Africa, because they still don't have sanitation, they still don't have proper water, services, education, and jobs. But they live on the richest continent in the world.
Wait a minute.
Let me make one more point. Look at South.
Have you been to Africa?
South.
Have you been to Africa?
New Guinea. Not New Guinea.
You went to New Guinea, and you mean to tell me you didn't see the orders? Even though they didn't have flush and toilets, they had a system that ran the sewage out of the community. Fresh water came in one way, the sewage went out another way. So I don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about a people who never had street lights.
I've been to Ghana.
I wouldn't want to live in a place where they don't have street lights.
Why not?
Why not?
You're talking about a people that are compatible with nature.
And the monkeys over there.
You got
Hello?
What?
I've been to Ghana, and even in the nice neighborhoods, at least years ago in Accra, Ghana, they had open sewers. The British didn't even take the time to build a real sewage system. And this is in the nicer neighborhoods. They have something
but
called
see,
open.
That
may have changed now, but when I was there, I remember my mother making a big fuss. You have these big, beautiful neighborhoods and these nice homes, and you've got open sewers with turds flowing down.
That's dangerous, man.
Can I make a couple of comments? When we're talking about...
A minute, Michael. Mr. Beasley, that hasn't changed as of the last time I was there. However, that's not a result of Africans not having the ability to provide themselves with sanitation. They've been robbed, and they are being kept at a state where they are unable to use their resources for themselves. Let me remind you all that these Europeans gave Africa, the IMF, these loans and kept them in debt and told them they were called conditionalities where they weren't allowed to use their resources to build schools and to improve their own condition. So that's all I want to say.
And that was after independence.
Pardon me, Mr. Beasley?
And that was after the so-called independence.
I can't hear because somebody else was speaking. I'm sorry, Mr. Beasley. I couldn't hear you.
I was just saying in those loans and that was supposed to be helping the people there, that came after alleged or so-called independence. I think Ghana got independence in 1958.
I know, but the point I'm making is I use that as an example to show how they're keeping them in the state that they're in, because when they gave them those loans, there was conditionalities that they could only buy products from the country that sponsored the loan through the IMF. Benefited the country that gave the loan,
That's true.
Okay,
Hold
on for a minute. All right, y'all, we have 5 minutes left in the show, so if you're out there listening on whatever device and you haven't called in, you got 5 minutes to call in to continue to hear the show live. 347-838-8622. Hey, get on the switchboard. We're going in overtime. It's going to be a good one. That's all I got to say.
Well, I miss them days.
Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
No, what she's saying is true, because I remember the people explaining it to me when I was a kid, that colonialism stopped, but they convinced the people there that their land was no good, that you had to buy your products from England. And what the colonialists did is they set up trading partners. And when I was in Ghana, there was a leader, his name, he was a colonel, he had took over the government, his name was Achimpong. And he had a slogan, was Operation Feed Yourself. And they were industrializing the farming areas and letting people know that they can grow their own corn. And they can grow their own this because they were importing most of their goods from England. So they raped Africa thoroughly, and Africa may never get out of that.
No, because they got GMO seeds over there now, Mr. Beasley.
And you know what that is.
Yeah.
Genocide.
You think so? But we eat them.
They have plantations.
It is genocide. GMO is a genocide. Genetically modified seeds, that's genocide. That's poor.
Okay, hold on, y'all, before we get off to another side. I think Michael has something he wanted to say. You still there, Michael?
Yeah, I want to make three points. I've been listening to y'all for a while. This three quick points is not going to lie. Well, first of all, I understand, GMOs, understand that. But, see, life expectancy has been getting longer compared to when we didn't have GMOs. And the pros of GMOs if the crops can grow, because there's a lot of people that need. Now, I'm just saying, if we're going to get rid of GMOs, all of us on the phone just need to change our eating habits, because we're Americans, we're gluttony, a lot of us eat, me including, I eat more than I should around the world. If we spread that out, we shouldn't have nobody starving. But listen, it's a combination of both. Africa, I think every country in Africa, not the European, but its people has the political power. I understand they may not own the companies, but you can't say that political power can't change the laws to change those political subsidies. You can change where you can tax the those corporations 75%, 80% of their country. They can't do nothing, right? But I'm just saying. But
Michael, they have plantain trees that used to yield 4 times a year. Because of the genetically modified seeds, now they only produce once. So therefore, people could find food growing naturally, and that's being changed now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The people in Europe don't want no GMOs. Just don't bring it over there. Don't bring it to them. The Chinese don't want them either.
Go ahead, Perry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, GMOs, they've been proven by the European community and the Chinese. You know, the Chinese told the United States, no thank you to GMO rice. They don't want it. They don't want GMO-fed beef either. The stuff's poison, man. It's poison. It's not natural. It's the alteration of organisms and manipulated by science. And it's not feasible. It's not. And the bad part about it, our president helped endorse the program.
Why couldn't you sue Monsanto?
You can't sue Monsanto.
That's right. Obama signed that into law.
He signed that into law.
You can't sue? I haven't even made my second point, and she's meeting me. This is crazy.
She muted you again for complaining.
Continue talking, y'all. Go ahead.
We got a bad deal with the GMO. And they know it, too. And I said a long time ago, the agricultural industry is connected to the medical industry. They feed you food to make you sick so that you have to go to the doctor. That's why people's metabolism isn't operating properly, because they can't digest the food that they ingest. And food make people sick. Not people make people sick. Food make people sick.
It's true. It's your diet.
Yeah. And then the pharmaceutical company would rather get with somebody that can create a disease. That's why we got a new flu every year. And then they got to give you a flu shot. Now, if you think about it, who would want to be shot with a dead flu virus? They're going to shoot you with a scientifically manufactured flu virus. So that they can give you, so that you don't catch the flu.
Me to answer your question?
I'm quiet.
Well, my intention is not.
Okay, y'all live. I just want to let y'all know y'all live. All right. You know that's interesting because they make government employees actually take that flu shot, and I said it before. They just use them as guinea pigs for those that take the shots. I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was in the military, I wouldn't take them. I always came up with something to miss that day. But, that's all that is, and I still say it today. You know, it's stuff they're trying out, and why not try it on the masses and see what works and don't for later when they really want to use it? That's just my opinion, of course.
You're right. Just like the first Gulf War. They made those soldiers and sailors take a shot, say that they're going to be immune to mustard and sarin gas. Who can take a shot and be immune to temporary?
Hey, you remember those pills? They talk about take the pills, but don't tell nobody you took them. You crazy as hell.
And atropine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot people with atropine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Yes, sir.
I told them, just like I said, you know, partner told me one time, he said, you know why you got computer viruses? I said, no, man. It's because the people at Norton and Calispa and McAfee, they manufacture viruses, put them out on the internet just to sell their product.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Man, we live in a crooked society.
It's crooked all the way around.
Is it? Wait a minute. Is it the crooked society or just the people in the society that's crooked?
Yeah, man.
It's a crooked society. It's in their DNA.
That's right. Man's crooked from the beginning. I was saying that yesterday. He's just foul.
Yeah. Look how they do these cows, man. Baby calf come here. They put the baby calf in a box so it can never stand up. And then the next thing you know, they slaughter the calf and they call it veal.
You know what? Veal's not as popular as it used to be. You don't even see veal in the store as much. You have to see veal in the high-end store. There was a lot of fuss. There's a lot of fuss about them treating them little baby cows like that. But veal used to be very common 30, 40 years ago.
I remember.
Right.
You don't even hear about
it. I thought it was some deer meat at first when I first seen it. Sure did. I thought it was deer meat.
Well, I'm still trying to find me some veal. I haven't had any of that in a long time.
Yeah. Good luck.
Stuff.
Good luck.
I know, right?
Good luck. Just like all these chemical additives in Coca-Cola, all the chemical additives they put in snacks. And there's a brother called me one night, man, tripped me out. He told me about sugar. He said sugar worse than crack. I said, come on, man. I did some research on sugar, brother. You'd be amazed.
Yeah. Sugar is an addictive thing. It's a lot cheaper than crack, though.
It's a lot cheaper, right. They put it in there as a flavor enhancer. I know everybody remember this. MSG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But sodium gluminate.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Preservative.
Hold on. I see we got somebody else on the line, so let me bring ABC in and see what they have to add to the conversation. Welcome to the show, ABC. How are you doing?
All right. How you doing, man? Good show. I just kind of found out about your show as far as finding where it's at and all this kind of stuff. And I don't have too much to add to the whole conversation. I just wanted to tell you, you know, you got a good show. But also
Thank
I want
you.
To take the chance to say hey to Perry. Man, I wrote in the chat earlier, my feeling is BTR ain't been the same since he's been gone, man. I hope you can get back. Really miss you. And what I mean is everything else is boring as hell. Boring as hell.
I appreciate you, bro.
This is pretty good, you know. And
Wait a minute, he just said I was pretty good.
I was hell on wheels, though.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, I don't mean to throw you in the mix, Mr. Talk, and say you ain't any good, but
that's what you said, though.
Well, that's what I mean. But all these other shows are boring as hell. It's full of crap. You ain't really getting no good information. But Perry, man, I hope you get back.
Well, I got banned on BTR, so what I'm going to do is come on with my own show, probably in March. But like I said, all you're welcome to be guests and everything, and I'll give you all the free time you need. So I'll probably be back in March.
Why don't I just start a show, period? You could be my co-host.
No, they'll kick you off. I told you, I'm banned. I'm scared to talk on this show. I'm not going to probably won't be able to call in again because I don't want BTR to know I'm on here because they banned me, man. They forced me off, then they banned me. I can't even log on.
Did you talk mean to them when you spoke to them on the phone?
They don't answer the phone no more. We talk all the time. So I don't want to talk about them. Yeah. Not on their network.
All righty then. Well, let us know when you get your show. I'm sure they'll be running. You know, you just come on past my bedtime. You know, I have to keep on getting my beauty sleep. I drop in every now and then.
Yeah.
No, I my ears are sensitive with some of the stuff be going on with your show, so I have to get away.
You know, Perry, I mentioned you the other day, and I gave you credit where some of these people don't have credit. And I said, you know, I've watched these people that have been around us for a while, and the way people fight with each other and don't get along, it consumes their lives. And I've seen a lot of these hosts where their lives are really consumed by this bullshit. I said, at least Perry Steele had the sense to pull the plug and keep his sanity. That this is too much. No, seriously.
I don't know if that's a compliment or insult.
I meant that as a compliment.
I appreciate it. I'll be back. I miss doing the show, you know. I miss, you know, the interaction and the communication. But one thing you got to realize, though,
I don't know if any of you have been monitoring the internet. A lot of journalists are being censored. A lot of them being censored here in America. And overseas, they're locking them up. Because Al Jazeera got five people locked up in Egypt now.
Well, you know what?
Perry, they're killing them, blowing them up in their cars.
Yeah, they sure did blow up that boy in Los Angeles. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they sure did blow him up.
Yeah,
the one that exposed McChrystal and Petraeus, the one that wrote back, the one that wrote about him, they blew him up.
Yeah, in his own car.
Yep.
Because one of the witnesses said the car was at a high acceleration speed and ran straight into the wall. He said he don't see how anybody could have did that.
Well, it ran into a tree, but it blew up before.
Yeah, a tree.
I saw the video.
I did, too.
I saw the video, and I don't know why his name escapes me, because I read all about that.
You got these idiots over here talking bad about Snowden, and they turned Bradley Manning into a sissy.
Man, the day after they sentence him, they're going to say he wants to be known as a woman now.
Chelsea Manning.
Hey, but you know what the deal is with that stuff? They hold these people without anybody getting any, you know, you can't get in touch with them, you can't hear from them or nothing like this, but they hold them, and you don't know what they're doing to these people. They got them back there for months. And so, like you said, now this guy shows up and he wants to be a girl. Well, hell, we don't know what they've done to this guy.
That's psychops. They put psychops on him.
Right.
Sure did. They had him in the cell butt naked, man, for months.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, they call it sensory deprivation.
Exactly. And you have no
you know
in the dark and butt naked.
The guy that Batman, the guy that, I think it was the one that shot some, they called it the Batman movie. He shot some people up when he was sitting in court with the orange hair.
Yeah, in a row.
Looking all psychotic and stuff. All of them. They pull them away. You don't know what's going on with them. You know, the incident happens months ago, but you ain't never heard enough of him. Then all of a sudden you see him, and he sits up in court, eyes all dilated. He got orange hair looking like he's bat shit crazy. You know, and it's always like that because they're messing with these people's heads.
Yeah, his mom and daddy work in the military psych ops.
There you go.
Sure do.
James,
his mom and daddy developed that stuff.
James Diamond.
I believe they put that stuff in the Middle East, too. That's why everybody's fighting each other.
Yeah. Well, what I think is that they have, and this, you know, this goes off on something else, but that whole MKUltra thing, I think they have these sleeper, they talk about sleeper cells being terrorists, but it's sleeper cells, people whose brains they done screwed up, that they activate when they're ready to do something, say, okay, we need something to kick off. It's been a whole month before, you know, we had any.
MKUltra, you're right, MKUltra is far more widespread than you would think.
We're in a dangerous world.
It's throughout the entertainment industry. I saw YouTube, and they had Al Roker. They were there doing, you know, how at the Today Show, they're out in front of wherever they are, Rockefeller Center. And somebody said a word, and I forgot what the word was, hocus pocus or something, and it came out accidentally. He went into a trance.
I think I saw that.
He went right into a trance. So, he went right into a little trance. Look it up, Al Roker. You can find it on YouTube. And I watched it a bunch of times. But I'm not surprised that any of these people that they put in front of the camera or that they make important, that the powerful folks, they want to have control over them. You know, you don't need them going rogue. Most of those people in the entertainment industry, big-time actors or recording artists, are mind control.
I believe it.
And if they're not
mind
control,
propaganda too. They propagandize.
Well, they're controlled all kinds of ways. You know, they're drawn into sexual situations, and they'll do a homosexual act,
right,
and they'll have it recorded. And every time they buck up, they'll remind them, "Hey, you know, we got this on you, right? So just go ahead and do what you're supposed to do here." So
that's slavery.
Those are slaves that get to live like movie stars, but they're still a slave nonetheless.
Still a slave.
Right.
They sold. Sure did. And I don't care, black, white, male, or female. Look at Samuel Jackson. I haven't heard so much about him, man.
I haven't heard much about him, but I saw what
I saw him. He was pretty funny when the dude mistook him for Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to say real quick, talking about that whole mind control stuff, and I know that stuff sounds so outlandish for the average person.
It's not outlandish at all. If you do a little bit of research, it's real.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. All you got to do, just Google DARPA. That's that defense agency. It's kind of out in the normal media that they got stuff they can beam thoughts into your head and all this kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. Man, they've been doing it to Wesley. I don't really believe that they're doing it to him, but he believes it.
I enjoyed what Wesley's comments were, and a lot of it was valid. Because people are doing some things, man, and they get arrested, and the police say, well, why did you do that? Somebody just told a voice in my mind just told me to do it.
Yeah.
And they do some really awful things, man. Have you ever noticed? I know you've been noticing. A lot of people that are accused of these atrocities have never been in jail and have no criminal record.
Right.
You go talk to their neighbor. They say, that's the nicest guy.
Right.
Quiet,
right.
Keeps to themselves. They'll never make any of my noise. He used to help me bring my trash cans in.
But a good number of them are also kind of psychotropic drugs or something. You know,
well, you know, the one thing that you can't tell is that when someone has an episode and they act out, you can't tell if they're mentally ill or if they're mind controlled or on drugs. You can't tell. You just a guessing game. You don't know.
I know Tammy stopped me from saying people need to be prosecuted for the crime they committed when she illustrated me and told me the truth about these so-called prescription drugs. You know when you want to quit smoking, they got a drug called Chantix.
Chantix. Yeah.
If you read the precaution on it, say you could be violent, nauseated, depressed, or suicidal. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's worse than smoking.
How can you sell something like this to people?
All those drugs are like that. Though. You know, they show you the picture on the commercial. The guy's at the beach walking along with his dog and wife and everything all happy. But if you listen to what they're saying, you know, could cause murderous thoughts and, you know,
heart attacks.
Yeah, how could you sell something like that, though? Where the Food and Drug Administration at?
They approved it. Could cause suicide, homicidal thoughts, homosexuality.
Erratical behavior.
But you're not going to smoke anymore.
Well, what do you
think? You sure not going to smoke no more.
We'll cure you from smoking. You might kill somebody, though, but it ain't.
What do you think about the fact that they've had fluoride in the water for 40 years?
Right.
I heard about that poison.
Calcifies your mind.
Fluoride is, well, yeah, they did it in Nazi Germany, too, to those people. Fluoride is a derivative of processing aluminum.
They just found out in Wheaties that Wheaties has metal in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
A lot of metal. I believe the whole food thing is intentional. I'm starting to believe that all of the food is intentionally has stuff in it.
You're just now
so
believing
to the doctor so they can make money. That's why I said there is no cure to health care. You know, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, there's no cure to it. Because the food is virtually unregulated. You know, I got an argument with a guy one night, he's talking about free market. I said, well, free market, you got free market, I mean, you can sell anything you want? Yeah, at any price I want. So what about the purity of it or the sanitation? Man, you got meat places, man, that just fail inspection because they're taking dead animals and processing them.
Who's rattling pans
right now? There's a story out right now. I think it's like 1 million pounds of beef that they recall.
Yeah. Man, they sick animals. That's where that mad cow disease came from. Pumping them cows over stuff. And a brother came on my show one night and was telling me how they take meat and inject it with a solution and it swells up. That's why you got such big chicken legs.
It's called
I'm like, you know, I'm looking at this chicken leg. I'm like, oh, you know, them big breasts. And I said, I wonder how big this chicken was.
That's
really?
Cloned, Perry. That's cloned.
Yeah, they did into that, too.
mixing spiders and goats together.
I can't get over the fact that Mr. Beasley said he's just now coming to that conclusion that it's deliberate. That's mine.
Well, you know what? There's some things that you don't want to believe.
I know. I understand. It's hard to swallow.
It's some things that you don't want to. Some things that you don't want to. You know, I don't want to believe because I eat every day.
Well, we all have to eat to live.
I know
and
I backed off the fast food. I'd go hungry I backed up off the fast food.
Hey, along those lines, if you worried about every little thing, you wouldn't be able to eat or breathe. You'd be sitting in your house curled up in a ball or something. So, you know, you got to deal with some of this stuff. But the best you can do is try not to, you know, actively partake of that crap. Try to eat right.
Right. Just like you go to McDonald's and buy a hamburger and put it in your jacket, and you forget about it. And 5 years later, God, Doug, what's this? Wow, it still looked the same way I bought it.
It's important to be aware
because you know people that aren't aware take their children to fast food places, and so they start them out very young, and they're impacted greatly because people aren't aware. So, like you said, you got to look at some of this stuff, even though it's horrible to realize.
That's part of psychology too, psyching people out, psychological influence. Because McDonald's has been accused of it many times, using psychological influence on children.
Man, they got a playground inside of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the product that they're feeding the children from McDonald's.
Well, it gets you hooked from a kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, those Happy Meals it was genius. It's evil, but it's evil genius. You know, get a kid's little toy when they buy that food.
I remember my little Cracker Jack used to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure did. Yeah, I don't think it's going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. They're just going to have to find a new way to deceive people. And some people like Beasley, they just don't want to believe it.
Oh, it's not that I don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it either. You eat too.
Yeah, it's sickening, though, brother. It's sickening, though, to know that you grew up, you know, growing up, seeing your elders and things, eating different food. My grandmama died from eating a lot of fat food. Pig feet, pig tail, pig ears. You know, putting what do they call it, fat back in greens.
Yeah.
Stuff like the high blood, you know, almost every black man got high blood pressure.
I just took my medicine right now as we're talking.
Yeah, I need to take mine too.
And we call
almost
it
every black man got high blood pressure. And if you look at the what they call the diseases that's out here, black folks at the top of the list. We're the top of the list for just about every bad disease, social disease almost. We get them all.
Right. The life expectancy of a black man in America is about 67, 68 years old. Of a white man is 78 years old.
They get to be 85.
Well, one good thing about it is there was a time when the life expectancy was 25. So I guess, what can you say?
Yeah. Well, we have to throw our appreciation to science and nutritionists.
Yeah, but is the life expectancy going to be the same 20 years from now with all this stuff they're doing?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so. With the deterioration of the ozone layer, and people come more and more people coming up with skin cancer, you know. And then in Australia, there's certain parts of the day you can't come outside when the sun out.
Well, that's been going on in Australia for a decade or more. The children have to wear long sleeves to go to school and wear hats.
Right. And then look at the pollution in China.
Wow.
We were talking about Africa. The Chinese going to mess Africa up just like they did their country.
Looks like
so. Those are nasty people. Now, you're talking about some nasty folks. Them Chinese some nasty people.
I'm from Los Angeles. I've never seen smog like that like they've got in China. That's bad news.
I've never seen it like that before. They ought to pray for a thunderstorm or a windstorm or something. Something to blow that stuff out of there.
But you know that ain't nothing but Western capitalism has done all that. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to bring you all this business, but all you got to do is build a bunch of factories. And then they buy off those guys, you know, don't have any regulations. I'll make you a millionaire.
Wow.
So they're just doing that stuff. I mean, it's just taking over the world. It's like an octopus.
It's going to be the extinction of man. Man going to extinguish himself. You know, we're in his greed. He's going to extinguish himself. Because, you know, I grew up believing that the water was supposed to be the most serious thing on the face of the planet. How anybody could put PCBs, heavy metals, and toxins in water is beyond recognition to me. Why would you put it in the water? Can't you just bury it in the ground?
We got
rivers up north, man, especially in Philadelphia, you can't even swim in.
I'm going to get off the line, but I wanted to say real quick to your point there, Perry, about how they're going to do the extinguisher man. I think everybody on the line here probably is aware that what do you call it, seed vault, like somewhere in Scandinavia, and it's up in the cold mountains somewhere. They have a big seed vault where they then took all the seeds of the world and they hoarded them.
That's Monsanto.
It's Norway.
Involved with
Okay.
But why would they have to do stuff like that?
Monsanto do it too.
They've taken all the organic seeds and put them in the vault.
Right.
And then they've used genetically modified seeds and put them out here for us.
Right, exactly.
They trick you at the same time.
But what people don't know about those genetically modified organisms, they make pesticide-resistant bugs. Pesticides don't work on them no more.
They're also altering our DNA.
Yeah, making little girls come to puberty early.
Right. And boys growing breasts and stuff.
Yeah. They got medicine to do that, too, to little boys.
Well, they're called gender benders. And I hate to add insult to injury, but then we have to consider the radiation we just got dosed with from Fukushima.
Yep.
That's why I'm afraid of nuclear war.
Well.
So Fukushima is second, Chernobyl is first. Who's going to be next?
They say that Fukushima was many times worse than Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Right there
and
on the ocean.
Man over there warned them not to put those plants on the ocean side.
All the nuclear plants in North America are also by waterways. They're by rivers and so forth.
Yeah, they're by rivers. Sure.
They put
3 mile islands like that.
They put them by water because they need the water to cool it.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, the rods.
They need the water to constantly cool it. There's one between Los Angeles and San Diego. It's Laguna Niguel, and I've seen it many times, and apparently they've shut that down.
Well, I got to tell people, it's going to come a day when the living going to envy the dead. They're going to envy the dead.
Well, now that takes us back around to the question Eric started for the show. Is the Bible credible? Because in Revelations, it talks about a time like this on the earth. So.
Yeah, but they wrote that how many years ago and it hasn't happened yet?
It's happening now.
It happens in your lifetime.
It's happening now, Mr. Beasley.
Yeah, it happens in your lifetime.
I don't know. 144,000 people are going to be saved and the rest are going to be gone?
Don't put that word in my mouth. I don't talk like that.
Well, that's what's in Revelations.
Well, that's part of
Revelations. That's the main point of Revelation.
Yeah, I used to believe that, too. That 144,000 is going to be the governance of the rest of the earth, but it's going to be a number that man can't count that's going to heaven. That's in Revelations also. You need to read a little bit further. It's still going to be a whole lot of people going. It's going to be a whole new earth and a whole new heaven because this one's too messed up to fix up.
Yeah, none of us were here promised to be here forever anyway. I keep that in mind. And I know you think about the ones that you leave behind in Gagne, but what can you do?
Yeah. How would you like to be 250 years old? You'd be a vegetable.
That sucks.
You wouldn't be able to move.
That means I'd have been wearing a diaper for about 100 of them years.
Uh-huh. You'd be a vegetable. You look like a skeleton or some kind of zombie.
Now, let me ask you guys this about the Bible. They talk all the time about people that live 600, 700, 800 years old. Do you believe those are the same years that we count now, 365 days?
Of course not.
No, I don't believe that either.
They count the daytime as one day and then the night as another day.
Right, so they're doubling up. Or something, right. Yeah, I don't believe that people lived 700, 800 years, 900 years. If life expectancy was lower, 150 years ago, what was it 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago?
It
but there
been
are people
greater because they didn't count time the way we do, Mr. Beasley.
No, I understand that. That's what I believe. But there were people that will argue you down and tell you that Methuselah lived 900 something years.
Well, they said
the Earth was made in 6 days.
Yeah, right.
Saying that didn't understand time the way we do now, because you know there was a time on the earth, according to some, where we weren't as dense, or you know, we didn't exist in the same form that we do now.
Yeah, we weren't as intelligent.
Are you kidding me? You think we gotten better instead of worse?
Somehow.
I think we got better instead of worse.
Oh,
overall,
we weren't intelligent as we are now. Those people were Cro-Mongo.
Well, I'll leave that alone, okay?
Yeah, those people were Cro-Mongo.
Oh, please! So, now I'm talking about prior to when humans.
Prior to what?
Hello.
I'm on my phone doing something.
Yeah.
See if I can find.
I guess she's gonna. All right.
Yeah, like I get to arguing with people when they said Adam and Eve were perfect. I said, "How are you perfect and you don't even know you're naked?"
That's what made them perfect. They didn't know. They didn't know.
Babies don't
know
they're naked.
Huh?
Babies don't know they're naked.
That's what they're innocent too. Even though, see, that's the thing. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That's what you have to understand. When did they really find out? When did they find out they weren't naked?
When their eyes were opened.
And how were their eyes opened? Because they walk around
with
their eyes open already.
They consumed a certain forbidden object. I won't call it a fruit. They consumed a certain forbidden object.
Uh-huh. Okay, you just...
Now, are we supposed to take that literal, fellas, or is that symbolic or allegorical?
Oh, I got thrown off a long time ago when they told me it was two Eves. The first night, the first one was Lilith.
Okay.
And she turned
yeah.
against Adam. So,
okay, look,
now he
look,
made
look,
another
look.
One.
There was only one Adam and one Eve. Because if you noticed...
Are you sure?
Because no. You're going to make me grab my Bible on you now.
Because
You're going to make me grab your Bible on, because the lady called me one
out,
night, man, and messed my mind up.
Check this out. Because in the beginning, he said, man, he laid him down, and he took the rib out of him, and he made woman for man. He didn't call no names. Until the second time you read about it, that's when he said Adam and Eve.
I don't know now.
Yeah, I do.
But do you believe that Adam and Eve were the first man? And the first woman?
Yes, I do.
And they were actually a man and a woman?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I sure do.
How do you account for the stories around the world in different cultures that, you know, kind of paint a different story, Mr. Talk? Like Bible Myths and Their Parallels by T.W. Downs and 16 Crucified Saviors by Percy Graves?
Well, you know, and here's, I guess I'm finna get my final words early, but it's simple. You know, I have you know, checked all, you know, went back and researched and learned a lot of things. But there's nowhere else where I have found that everything has been really studied to the point where it has been true, proven true, besides the Bible. Now, I've looked, but things have been proven, even the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I want to thank Mr. Solution for this information, but it proves that the Bible is as accurate as it was back then. So,
The Dead Sea Scrolls were kept hidden from the public.
Exactly.
They let them out. So how do we know what was in the Dead Sea Scrolls? They kept them for 40 years.
And they were so fragmented, you couldn't hardly read them. You had to fill it in. Genesis 27, 127, it
right.
says, so God created man in his own image, and
right.
the image of God created him,
woman.
Male and female created he them.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's the first set. Okay?
Right. It's
and
only
then,
one
and,
set.
And then in chapter 2, it talks about how God said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took a rib, one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof.
Which
the Lord God
two.
Had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her into a man.
Right, chapter 2 was more. Perry, listen. If you read chapter 1, it's just a general description, right? But when you read chapter 2, listen. When you read chapter 2, it's more descriptive. See what I'm saying? It goes a little deeper into it. That's where a lot of people are beginning to make that mistake. It wasn't 2. It was just 1, but in chapter 2, they just got a little bit more descriptive with it. And that's where people are taking and interpreting it that there was 2 when there was just really 1. That's all. But let me bring
why is it worth saying it was nobody for man?
Because originally God created man in his own image. He didn't create a woman at that time. That's why. Hello, Mr. Solution. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Eric and crew? Yeah, I just heard this discussion. I guess you're on the tail end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with this quite often, the difference between Genesis 1, 1 through 31 and Genesis 2. And a lot of people, that's where the term Lilith came up as being the first wife of Adam. Now, let me just tell you, that's nonsense. In Genesis chapter 1, you have the creation of everything, the entire creation, including man, expressed. But in Genesis chapter 2, you have the specificity of creation, particularly in Genesis chapter 1, we know that God created man, but we don't know how. And we see that woman was in man. A woman is the wombed one, the man with the womb. And they're perfectly mated for each other. And so Genesis chapter 2 deals specifically with the creation of man and woman and the propagation of the human species on earth without repeating the entire creation scenario. So that is a fundamental difference and the essential difference between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. They are perfectly complementary.
This is somewhat confusing, though.
What's confusing?
They said God created man in his own image, and in the image God created he, him. Male and female, because created he, them. It said them. He thought God blessed them, and God said be fruitful. But then again,
right.
it come back, and it said, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept, and he rose, and took one of his ribs and closed it up his flesh instead. So chapter 2 should have been chapter 1.
No. See, well, maybe if you were writing it. But see, what happens when you study any literature, you always give the author the benefit of the doubt. That's just the way it works. And it's just like I said to you before, if you listened, Genesis chapter 1, now we know that God made man from what? according to the Bible, from the dust of the earth, correct?
Right.
Okay, but you don't find that in Genesis chapter what? Correct. So remember, Genesis chapter 2 adds, excuse me, it adds detail and specificity to the creation that Genesis chapter 1 doesn't. So
well, you know what? If that's the case, then a woman should be more sustainable than a man, because she wasn't. It didn't say he created her out of dust. It says he created her out of a rib.
Wait a minute. Now you have a fertile imagination, and that's fine.
Wait, but,
please.
But wait a minute, Mr. Solution. It didn't say she was created. It said out of a rib.
Okay, but you got to key me in on exactly what you mean. I don't understand what you mean.
Well, like I said, I tell people all the time, it's not my words. Not my words. It's
okay,
and the Lord
just tell me what you
sleep.
Mean. I'm just talking to you. Talk back
to me. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking to you, too. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And
okay, you're
he
in Genesis
took
chapter
one of his ribs and closed him up, the flesh instead. And
okay.
The rib, which the Lord had taken from the man, he... made he a woman and brought her unto man. In a sense,
okay.
He was created
now,
out of
this
dust.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean. Go ahead, please. Let me know when you finish, because I'm not looking at your face. I can't tell.
Well, look at the Bible instead of my face.
No. Just go ahead and tell me what you look, sir. I'm going to explain it to you carefully. If you'll just. Okay, Genesis chapter 2 adds specificity of human creation that's not expressed in Genesis chapter 1. Now, you
that's
can
your,
rewrite your Bible,
that's
but
your
you've got to go by the rules that the Bible follows. God gave the entire creation, which was miraculous in itself, in just 31 verses in the first chapter. You try doing that. And
listen,
then chapter 2 went on to explain.
Calm down, bro. Because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about
just
the Bible,
do
we
it
get all
way.
Excited
it
and our blood pressure go up and we start hollering and screaming. Calm down.
Okay.
Like I said, I went to school and I went to college too, you know.
All I was saying,
bro, is that in the first chapter, he said he created them. Male
Let
and
me,
female. Okay.
I'm trying to,
then
okay.
it was
well,
talking
you go
about
ahead
how,
and explain it.
How, let me know when you finish.
Let me explain it to the audience. excuse me. What I'm saying is Genesis chapter 1 gives you an overview of the creation of man. The focus in Genesis chapter 2 focuses virtually entirely on man. And so that's what you have in Genesis chapter 2. Now, let me just ask, because other people are standing by listening, does that make sense? Now, I know a lot of people haven't read the Bible. They're fearful of it, and that's very unfortunate. But the Bible is a very discernible book. It's not a mystical book. It's not anything that you could be afraid of. In fact, the law over the Bible is the language that the Bible is written in. So a good dictionary, is the authority over the Bible. And so, like I say, in Genesis chapter 2, we know that God created man, but we didn't know how. It explains how in Genesis chapter 2.
It explains how he made a woman. He made a woman not out of dust, but a rib.
That's right. You know that.
Right. So a woman is not created from dust. That means she came from a rib, not dust.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I'm
saying. She's from the...
You.
Okay, I
the
see what you're
one,
trying to say.
Chapter 1,
okay, I see what you're trying to say. Let me just explain this. So what's the real problem? She came from...
What's the real
from
problem?
The...
Is he made another woman?
Oh, please. Okay, all right. Well, if you want to believe... What evidence do you have of that?
Well,
who is the other woman?
Well, the first woman was Lilith.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I've read that a number of times. That is not fidelity to the text. You say you've gone to college.
Why are you going? Okay, check this out.
There's what's
okay,
called intellectual
okay, it's
integrity.
It's that.
And to deduce that there's a Lilith from Genesis chapter 1 is not demonstrating intellectual or textual integrity.
Chapter 2, 7,
And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man
breathe.
Became a living soul. And
right,
God,
and
the Lord God planted a garden east of Eden, and there he put man he had formed. Okay? That
right.
would say it did with man, right?
Right. Adam
you know?
Was created
but,
first.
But in 1:27, it talks about he made male and female. And then
right.
in 2:21, it talks about he put in a deep sleep and he made Eve out of a rib.
So what's your point?
Well, my point is when Mr. Talk first started the show, you jumped in late. He said, is the Bible relevant?
Who said
and
that?
Is it relevant? And that causes
Who?
Confusion. That causes confusion. And then Michael said the same thing, that the Bible causes confusion.
What does the
if he made
Michael
them, if he
that,
made both of them in one, then
does
why
the
he had to come
and
say,
good
then why they had
morals?
To come back and say that he made Adam go to sleep and made woman out of a rib? It mentioned dust at all.
Okay, well, why don't you do this? And I understand what you're doing. Why don't you write a scenario of what the Bible is saying?
No. Man has already did
that.
Brother, I go literally by the scripture. You know, some people might say I'm a fundamentalist, but I go literally by the scripture. I go by what I read in the Bible. I don't add anything to it, no speculation,
okay.
or put
I got
no
you.
So-called
I got you.
Modern twist or spin on it. I don't do that. I just
I
go by
you.
What the scripture says.
Have you ever
says.
Taken a
that's
Bible
why,
course,
that's
by
why
the way?
I quit going to church. That's
have
why
you
I quit
ever
going
taken
to church,
a Bible course?
People were putting their own interpretation. Mr. Talk
yeah.
talked about that early in his show. People were
yeah.
putting their own interpretation. Well, we were talking about and Mr. Talk. They put their own interpretation in it.
Have you ever taken a Bible course?
Yeah, from Herbert W. Armstrong, yeah. Sure did. He the one
that's
who
a heretic.
By Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, that's a heretic.
Yeah.
Herbert W. Armstrong is a heretic.
That's
but,
your opinion.
Okay, I got it. But I encourage people to read it for themselves, get a good dictionary, or even a good commentary. I recommend Matthew Henry's commentary, and that's a commentary on the entire Bible. And it's a very good commentary with many, many scriptural references, and they use that in the seminaries today. So anyway, I'll hang out in the queue, but very fertile mind with respect to interpreting, and I guess that is what it is.
I guess it is.
Thank you, Mr. Solutions, and thank you, everyone. But Mr. Talk has asked me to close the show. It's been quite an interesting conversation, and
okay.
tomorrow we'll continue.
So
you
so
all
if,
have...
If Eve came from Adam's rib, is she the first GMO?
Mr. Baisley, I'm trying to...
she ain't made
Sorry.
Out no dust.
I'm trying to close the show, gentlemen.
Okay, then.
All right. It was good
y'all
to hear
good.
You. And thank you all. And I'm going to close it here with some music. Sorry we didn't get last words because we've been going a long time. Good night. I don't hear any music playing. Okay.